Hello and welcome to episode 167 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian, and I play Convergence of Cirrus. And I'm thinking about playing some Protectorate.
I think you should, every week, you should just say, I'm thinking about playing this week.
I actually legitimately want a spell draft. That like, actually sounds like fun.
I mean, we could do it.
The draft process is amazing.
You didn't bring the cube with you?
No, I didn't.
I feel like the actual games might end up being horrifically miserable.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Drafting aspect is super
That's
fun.
What Colin actually told me. Is yeah. He was like, it's really fun to draft, but then you play it and you're like, boo.
Because he was playing a regrowth caster against a caster who had Mockery of Life.
Ah. This is Keith and I play Crixen Stuff.
This is Josh, and I play Mercs, Yar, Pirates, Yar.
And this is Crump, and according to the script, I am playing Rhett, but only for spell drafts.
This is Chad, and according to the script, I play Jakes. Dem Jakes!
So, yeah, that's, I guess, the first thing on the announcement is that some of us have received our
Kickstarter Warcasters.
High five! Woohoo!
Mostly, yeah. It's the first wave sounds like it was mostly people who got all of them. The whole deal. All
right, yeah. So mine should be somewhere near my mailbox.
Probably.
At this juncture.
Probably I definitely got mine. It. Pretty excited. You know, everything was super cool, except I was disappointed in the coins, because I'm an old school guy, and the coins are like significantly smaller.
They still aren't a base size for some reason.
They still have the same amount of detail, though. So
no,
it's
they're
fine.
Beautiful. The coins are gorgeous. I mean, they look great. They look like $1 million. I just wish they were bigger.
I like the smaller coins better than the... I miss the Mark I coins that were a medium base.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the big coins. Like, I'm just going to poop. I'm going to counter poo-poo John. Like, the big coins are... I don't know. They're just too unwieldy.
As a utilitarian, I think they're all terrible.
You can still put them on a base.
Will they hurt if you throw them into somebody's
Wait,
skull?
Can yes. They, will they
then
actually...
I think that they meet the only requirement I have for a coin.
Will they fit the inside of a base? Maybe?
Yeah, like, can I just... If I get, like, 100 first-place coins, can I just, like, base all my units with, like, my medium-base Star Trolls?
You can't just, like, organize tournaments and just pocket the coin kids. That's exactly how you'll do it, too.
I mean, that's, like...
A lot of
Bob Mars.
Clearly, that should be the entry fee.
Yeah, that's
clearly that should be the entry fee to your legit tournament.
Yeah,
it's just
one gold coin.
One coin. Hey, we only accept winners here, and therefore, to prove you're a winner, you have to give me a first place.
Yeah,
coin.
You have to show you're a big deal in your meta by giving me one gold coin as entry.
Well, that sounds totally legit. So.
that actually sounds like a hilarious idea.
Yeah, he loves it. He's actually thinking about doing
he's
it. Now.
He's legitimately thinking about how much do those sell for on eBay?
Yeah. Those sell on eBay?
Yeah, coin kits.
Someone actually like
the individual coins I think sell for upwards of 30 or more. At one point they were selling for that much, 30 or 40.
Wow.
Like
I should
the
check
trophies
eBay.
Also sell too.
What? That's like that's a third of a week's worth of work for me.
Yeah, it'll be like rent for Keith in a couple
that
of months here.
A lot of hot dogs. A lot of hot dogs.
Just, yeah, we'll eBay these. So, spoilers. We've got some fluff blurbs.
Oh, we're
for the Lesser Warlocks.
Oh, rather than talking more about...
Spell draft.
Well, no, we haven't started
that.
Yeah, or Dim Jake.
Spoiler alert.
Dim Jake.
I mean, everybody knows what the juniors do. Everybody's super excited about them. Does anybody know when they're officially legal?
Now.
So they are officially
Which
legal
is,
now.
As soon as you
just,
get them.
They're just butchering it.
What?
They're butchering it. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
They're butchering it.
What do you think I was like insulting private?
Good job, PP. You butchered it again.
So, holy crap.
Yeah,
it's
going to be awkward at like Adepticon when like 50% of the people have them and 50% of them don't.
It legitimately wants me. It makes me want to play Tristan. It makes me want to play Protectorate.
You got to assemble him and paint him then.
Well, that's what I have Nigel for.
You're going to
slave one.
You're cracking the whip really hard. You want him to make bases and tokens and paint and assemble?
Hey, nothing in life is free.
Yeah. Except for all of the labor you're getting.
I feel like John is well overvaluing the market, like the market value of the room that he is letting Nigel stay in. He's just like, this is basically a $2,000 a week value.
Right? Or he's really, if that room were in New York City, yes,
maybe
100%.
Maybe.
Have you seen that site? There's like a site where it's like, it's a blog about trying to find cheap, like, living in New York City.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, people's attics, like, rundown attics are, like, you know, like $600 a month.
Yeah.
Or something. God, I'll figure out what
it
is.
Hey, that room is big and spacious and barely smells. So, like, I'm pretty sure it's fine.
It's just right
it's also possible that he's
machine.
It's also possible that he's severely undervaluing the value of slave labor.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well, I mean, by definition, slave labor is...
valueless.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, but...
I mean, you pay nothing for
it. Wait a minute. But... Didn't we agree that this wasn't going to become a thing?
So, fluff blurbs.
I thought we agreed that this was not going to become a thing.
We agreed that a different thing was not going to become a thing.
No, but then you also were like, Josh, get as dark as you want.
I don't think I said that.
The first.
This is going to get weird.
Jesus Christ.
The first fluff blurb on our list is for Tyrant Zadesh. That's a strange name, but I mean, it's Gordon.
It could be Zadesh. Just saying.
I'm now picturing him as speaking with, like, a Mike Tyson voice.
I'm Zadesh. Tyrant Zadesh. I'm going to F you up, guys. I'll bite your ear off.
Few house leaders demonstrate the cunning and ambition that Tyrant What's-His-Face does.
Zadesh.
And only time will tell if he is destined for a fast rise or a tragic fall. His war beasts respond to his will like regimented soldiers in an army, reacting in lockstep to their master. Together with him, his beasts function as a cohesive force, each acting in concert with the others to trample his foes with incredible coordination. So he has the rule in concert.
Or he has the
with
rule
battle group in concert.
Synergy.
Also just known as synergy.
Synergy, indeed.
Is this a lesser, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, so if he has synergy, like, maybe reptile hounds become pretty good?
Just a bum ton of...
We're just like...
The thing is, they saw something as
just sticking it to Lance. A bum on this cast. Just like... So you had a little, like, Walking Dead party, huh? Well, suck it, Lance, out of this.
Let's talk about that for a second. This is now the second podcast in a row that he's ditched us.
That's true.
So I think he's earned it.
He gets his own podcast. It all goes straight to his head.
You, Lance, make sure you edit that out.
We are getting banned from...
If he just leaves that in.
That one's 100% getting left in. There's no way that gets taken out. Sorry, everyone who listens with children in the car, but just so you know, my pirate joke's going to be pretty ribald later on, too. So.
You still do those?
I love
every
you,
every week.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, why did we make you a permanent member of this podcast?
It was your idea.
I feel like I got tricked somewhere.
I mean, you guys could either go for pirate jokes or horrible CSI Miami puns at the start of the week.
I have to say, I love Miami.
It's
lose-lose.
Uno the Falconer is the second.
Whoa. I want to talk about this because this is exciting. Because when TempoCon happened and those spoilers came out, people were just like, well, clearly they only showed Circle and Trolls getting lesser war beast or lesser war
things.
Yeah. What's the locks? There we go. Bam. Got it. And they were just like, and then clearly only Legion and Scorn are getting War Beast packs. And I was like, no, I don't want a lesser Warlock. I just want More Beast packs. And so, now everyone's getting equally screwed, so I might get War Beast packs, which is great.
You might. One thing I want to point out about these, it'll be really interesting to see how they make them work from a game design standpoint. The reason why Juniors work so well on the War Machine side is you're struggling for focus efficiency or adding more focus to your army. So when you add 4 focus that you can allocate to a jack every turn, like, it's a big deal. With Hordes, because of all the fury manipulation, like, you're not really adding anything. You're adding another model that is burdened by the fact that as soon as the War Beast dies, it becomes pretty worthless.
You were taking in War Machine, you're taking a limited resource and gaining more of it. And in the Hordes mechanic, you are taking an unlimited resource and then taking some of it away.
From your Warlock or Warcaster. Yep.
That is essentially it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest problems in Hordes is that at the end game, if your beasts don't, if you know they get scalpeled out, yep. like Fury Generation is a big deal. So putting more beasts on a non-warlock or non-warlock is kind of a big deal.
This may be exactly why we're seeing the beast packs in this book up here in this book.
Yeah,
and then also the fact that it's compounded by the fact that Warjacks almost across the board have better stats than Warbeasts do, and Warbeasts are supposed to be balanced out by that. Fury, by the fact that they can boost, you know, Furies with that whenever, you know, it doesn't, there's no resource limit, you know, on how much they can boost. It's just their Fury stat and how much you want to risk having Fury left on the table. So having an extra Warlock does not really up your limit for how much you can boost. It's, you could still boost the same as you could have if you had all those Warbeasts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It just gives you a little bit more control in how much resources you're going to leave on the table for possible frenzy risk. But that's not that big of a...
It's more interesting for trolls who don't have beast handlers or shepherds,
a little bit,
right?
But
it's,
there's still a problem
for the Fury 5 casters.
It's
like
still,
only.
It's still a problem, though, because I thought about this, and I was like, yeah, originally I was like, yeah, that's actually pretty good, like, for trolls, because now I can have a dedicated... All I've ever wanted is a war beast or a model with the wilder ability that can cast an animus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I can have that. I can put an impaler on this guy, hopefully. Like, people are thinking that it's maybe just slags and pyres, in which case, that's still good animus to spend, but, you know, I want to put an impaler on him so I can cast Far Strike. But most of my battle groups only have Embalmer Impaler anyway.
Yeah, so you're like, take the impaler, now I have Bomber.
Yeah, and that's not enough. So I still need to put an impaler or another light.
No. Second Bomber.
Well, I'm up 13 points. So where is that coming from?
Well, that's like that's,
get those warders out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that, this. This sounds brilliant.
I'm
cut
saying.
That Creel Stone.
The existence of this may make some sorts of like list builds that previously weren't necessarily viable because of concern about running hot every turn become something that like so, that's what I was thinking.
Here's the big advantage of these guys is they're going to allow you to extend outside of your control area. So,
right.
You know, Jacks kind of do that by themselves because they can be allocated and then charge out.
Right.
I think what would make them, ultimately what would make them very playable is powerful but limited effects.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's what...
And that sounds like the direction they're going in. It's just a question of dialing it in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like what they're hinting at.
So,
maybe not powerful, but specific. So they might not be the right power level, but like if they're specific enough, then they can dial up the power to the point where it creates diversity rather than just being an unwanted tool.
So I think that one thing that kind of occurred to me is they have to be better than the juniors just because of the difference in the mechanics.
Yeah.
Like they have to bring more to the table than the juniors do because the juniors literally bring – like Alara is actually a good model.
Yeah,
because she literally brings 4 focus to the table, and that's good enough. Like that's excellent value for the points.
Yeah, by itself, that is worth it. Even if she has rule, even if the rest of her rules people don't like.
And the other thing with the juniors is they can run around and just be super solos. Like Icos is going to be just a super solo.
Some of the time, yeah.
Yeah,
I like Jake's as a super solo too. Actually,
and I think Gaston is a fine super solo.
Yep. Yeah.
And I actually think
3 points.
I don't think Tristan is a great super solo, but I he has a blessed weapon, and he's power 11 with 4 focus. Like, he could get some work done.
And he's in a sweet, like, B.A. Qui-Gon Jinn pose.
At least he's not Malakov.
Right.
From Star Wars Episode, I forget.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wish I could unsee it, Keith. I know.
The interesting thing for trolls, at least, is that trolls have so many animi that they want to spam on... units and model and warrior models. So having another, especially the Pyre Troll Animus, like as
you want to get that to every single champion.
Yeah.
Holy crap, though.
And so just having him being able to cast that twice and then having a third, you know, so that's 3 extra casts just by having this guy and 1 Pyre Troll on his battle group, which could be very significant, you know, but...
Well, it's not 3 extra casts. It's limited to just him, like, because the Warcast, your Warlock can no longer cast it at that point.
Well, but the Pyre Troll.
Yes, yes.
I think Gaston
two
is
plus
like
the Pyre
Storm Troll.
Yeah, which is 3, which is what I said.
I think Gaston is a good example of what I sort of expect them to be in regards to... I expect their combat stats to be pushed slightly. You know, like, Gaston has both his gun ability, and he also has flank with a Warjack, which actually makes him... pretty decent when he can spend four focus on melee. So I expect him to be able to do like quite a bit of work. I expect him to be pushed beyond most of the other juniors in terms of that. And and I expect him, like Keith was saying, to have some like Gaston's 4-point Vanguard rules, something like that, like four like cheaper slag trolls in his
back. Well, we already know that the troll one gets cheaper slag trolls and cheaper pyre trolls. Wilshik said that at the... Speaking of, the fluff blurb for him is... A talented blacksmith, Horgul Ironstrike has always been skilled with the manipulation of fire to bend metal to his will. His gifts awakened. He has mastered fire itself and wields it with brutal effect in defense of the Creels. Ironstrike has a special affinity for pyre trolls and slag trolls, taking their fiery innate abilities and stoking them to create a blazing inferno. Which is really generic.
What if when he casts the Animus, it's plus three instead of plus two? Or plus three instead of plus two.
I think
that'd be cool
because of what they said at the presentation. I think that it is going to be some kind of buff to their ranged attack, which I can't imagine what that is.
Auto boosted.
Maybe it ups the AOE size. Maybe it makes the AOE stay in play.
Fire.
Maybe and then it would have to do something different. It would have to do something different for the slag troll as well. Because
increase
he doesn't have
rate
an AOE.
Of fire by one. For all of them?
But I don't know.
That'd be
pretty good.
I'm a little bit worried that people seem to think that he can only take pyre trolls and slag trolls. I hope that he can take...
Bombers.
So, I really doubt it.
I hope that Here's he can take deal. Anything and then just pyre trolls and slag trolls are cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't think they would do that for one very important reason. They want to sell models.
And John, you forget how much they hate hordes.
Specifically trolls.
Yes. Thank you, Josh.
Specifically chat.
Thank you, Crump.
You're welcome, chat.
There's just a plethora of evidence.
All right, I'm going to read a fluff.
I mean, the other thing was...
No, I got this one. I got the circle one.
Circle player.
Wait, Chad,
kind of.
Chad,
according to the script, he's a rep player.
Sure, bruh.
Go for it.
Actually,
okay.
Actually, were we done talking about Iron Strike?
No, I don't know. Are we?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'm really hoping that he has that I don't think he will because all of the juniors have battle group only spells is I would love it if he had Ignite or something that he could put so that he broke the mold in terms of not being just a battle group buffer, but like him actually conforming to the rest of the troll playstyle and being able to actually just buff other units.
Yeah.
So then you would still take him because trolls need that fury.
Right.
The fury.
Management.
Yeah, management. So you'd still take him for that effect in most of the lists that you would take him in, but then he also doubles as, you know, the purpose for most troll solos, which is to buff their actual army.
Ignite on Burrowers. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
All I know is he's probably
Ignite
the best
on
one.
Champions.
Because
pretty good.
He'll have 8 wounds, and the rest will have 5.
I mean, he's probably the best one just because...
Yeah.
Because he's
He'll have 8 wounds. The rest of the, you know, he'll have 8 wounds. He can get plus 2 mat from Felcallers. He can get plus 3 strength from Maulers. Like, yeah,
he's a troll blood model, so he's plus 2 armor, plus 2 mat, plus 3 strength,
plus 2 speed
at all times.
Mm. Yeah,
he's not a war beast, so he can't have
quicken.
Also, his
fluff
burp doesn't mention weapons.
Quick,
so that automatically makes him better than the circle one, right?
What?
His fluff burp doesn't mention griffins, so that automatically makes him
better than the circle one. No, hers does not mention griffins. Nowhere in there does it say the word griffin.
Well, we haven't read it yet, so...
Una, the bird lady, shares a special connection with birds. She sees through their bird eyes, giving her an unencumbered view of her... i.e. bird's eye view of her surroundings. Her birds of prey hunt her foes at her direction, darting and diving to tear flesh from bone, much like an eagle diving for salmon, before soaring high again, ready for another strike.
I want so badly to listen to that again and word for word type out exactly everything that he just said and then try and replace every instance of this on the internet with what Mump just said.
So just, clearly she has bird's eye.
Whenever I said bird, obviously just replace it with a 5-letter phrase for bird. And you've got her fluff blurb.
It just makes me think of that, like the X-Men with I can't remember the stand-up comedian or the late-night comedian, but where he's like firing all the X-Men and he fires Angel.
Oh my god, so
just,
good.
Just like, you bird! You bird! Get out of here, you bird! Like just...
They're angel wings.
They look like bird wings to me. Hollow bones. Bird.
What else do you do? I just fly. Bird.
This sounds amazing.
Have you not seen these?
I've not seen that. No.
I got to show these to you guys. They're pretty amazing.
They're very enjoyable.
But yeah, she definitely has the virus thing.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Which is weird because the tech doesn't have any ranged attacks to make use of it, right?
Yep.
So
models with flight can ignore forest terrain twice as much now.
Nice.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't have bird's eye. I guess it doesn't make much sense for her to have bird's eye considering every griffin has flight.
If her birds on her actual model are guns, like the Lord of the Feasts bird is, then you know she can get use of it herself.
Oh my god, she's got a sound cannon.
Like she has bird guns.
Bird guns.
Pew pew pew.
Because her birds of prey, like the ones that float around her, like we see them in the artwork. They hunt foes at her direction. She just points at people like Lord of the Feast, and they get hit by eagles.
What if like her birds like peck out your eyes, and then you become blinded?
If her gun is blind on it,
yeah.
Why would
she'd be like?
What if she's actually like, the bird pecks Maverick out the eagle heart?
It's not.
Before soaring high again to ready for another
strike.
That's
that feat.
That is whenever like griffins kill something. They get removed from the table, and then during the next turn, they get ambushed.
Yeah. Confirmed. Whoever at PP writes fluff blurbs listens to Muse on Miami.
Yep.
So
amazingly, in like 1 week, they managed to get Colin's idea to model.
Well, there is another possible explanation. Maybe Colin is like some sort of super clairvoyant and actually has seen into the future and knows what's coming, but he doesn't know it, so he can't interpret it. So these inspirations that he has...
So he's like
Have you ever heard of Occam's Razor, John?
So is there any way that she does something within reason?
No, from this fluff blurb, no.
That makes her worthwhile.
Right, because this fluff blurb... This fluff
the blind bird gun, yes. If she has a blinding bird gun. Yeah. I mean, like, leaving the fluff bird alone, because the blurb is just birds.
I mean, the blurb is either bananas broken or mediocre.
I guess the griffin that goes, like, outside twice her control range might be useful.
Well, when she got spoiled or whatever, I was just like, haha, the Scar's Foe griffin has finally found its home. I'm still being completely unplayable.
Yeah.
Plus, we have no idea what the new griffin does. It's probably super sweet.
It's got a new animus. Uh-huh.
If the new griffin is a game changer for Circle...
Like Will Sheck said it is.
And you need to be able to spam the crap out of that animus.
She might be playable.
She may be playable anyway.
This is true. Probably about as often as the Woldrath.
I mean, most things are playable to some degree or another.
Correct.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of what possible rules existing or otherwise that would be like, yeah, I want to take this girl with the two griffins and it'd be amazing. And I'm drawing blanks.
Well, this would be a new rule, but I don't
maybe
actually
if,
have
like,
anything going
she has,
to tell
maybe if she has some sort of like
I was hanging on the edge of my seat.
Maybe if she has some sort of rule where they like sort of like a Pihaya spirit door kind of thing where if they like so like if they kill someone then at the end of their activation they can teleport to within like
so they
three
get
inches of her or something
like maybe they get carried off by her birds a la Lord of the Rings
no,
so they just
no,
fly away
like, I'm talking about like some like sort of like weird elite cadre that's like griffins in her battle group game like kill a guy and then like
you
if,
mean,
a,
like,
if a griffin
spread?
In her battle no because that
you like kill a guy and then they move.
And he's saying kill a guy, and then
they
get teleported
back to her.
Yeah, but I mean, if they kill a guy, and they like sprinted, they would pretty much move to the same spot because her control area is all of 8 inches. So
placing's better than sprinting.
It is
also not having to cast lightning strike 3 times.
Agreed.
Also good. Yeah,
like that was
pretty
much
sorry.
Where I was at. I was like, sprint. They could have sprint, and then I was just like,
not trying to. No, not trying to poo-poo you, Crump.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
really.
I mean, I was, but I'm taking it back. I'm actually feeling remorse. It's weird.
That could be legit with Razorwing Griffins. I mean, or she could just give Griffins Sprint, I guess, so that way I don't have the library. So I could, like, Animus a Razorwing Griffin, so it gets a muck, and then it could, like, trample, kill some infantry, and then teleport back.
Oh, a muck.
Maybe. That Animus is really legit on that light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really good Animus.
Hmm.
On Razorwing Griffins, yeah.
So I'm hoping to be surprised by Una.
I hope she has the blind gun. That'd be sweet.
I'm actually just hoping to be surprised by all of these. I'm setting expectations low.
I mean, you know she's going to be the worst because she has the sweetest model, so that's just how that works.
I mean, we don't know the model for the Legion or Scorn one yet.
Have we seen
Una's model or just her concept art?
No, we've seen the 3D like sculpt.
And
we also know like red putty stuff.
We also know who will have the best one.
Trolls, because Trolls always has the best one.
No, it'll be Minions.
Oh, you mean the best? The best looking sculpt or the best?
Just the best. The best.
Oh.
The best rules wise will be the Minions one.
Probably
with no. Beasts.
If there is a minion one.
Yeah. Like bull snappers?
Yeah, bull snappers would be super legit.
That'd be legit.
That would be legit, actually. Spiny growth everywhere.
There's just like one guy with a bull snapper on the back, and every turn he's like, you get a spiny growth, and you get a spiny growth, and you! And get
maybe
it.
He'll be
killable.
Maybe he'll be a mercenary minion.
It's so interesting because...
Nope.
We made that mistake once. That's not happening again.
It's so interesting. I'm just thinking in terms of the troll guy. I'm guessing his defensive stats, like the defensive stats of the junior min warcasters are all phenomenal for solos. I'm guessing the stats for the Warlocks are going to follow the tradition of Warlocks versus Warcasters, and they're just going to be bad. Like I can totally see this troll guy being like 12-15.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I don't think he'll be that bad.
Well, but they'll be
because of transfers. I bet
he'll be 12-15.
What's Rongai is 12-17, right?
12-17. Yeah.
So he'll probably be at least 12-17.
Yeah.
Like Rongai.
I can see 12-17 8 boxes. That's not like being 17 armor for like it's...
Well, 19.
Yeah. 19 for trolls.
Yeah.
Or but, 21.
I mean, it's interesting because...
Yeah.
It's interesting because they're going to have to camp at least one or... At least two, probably. Like, if they're in any danger at all.
Sure.
If there's anything within an attack range of them.
Sure.
I mean, I guess we can set the standard here, like... Because lesser warlocks exist in the minion ones.
Mm-hmm.
And only one of them is... really playable.
There are
situational uses for some of the others, but when you think about them, there's only one that stands out at all.
All four of them are playable. The problem is that Rongai and Snapjar are so much better than all the others. But the others are playable. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of them.
Outsider.
Like, Rorsch and Brian cost the same amount as a heavy, but they don't hit as hard or stand up as well as a
heavy.
They
don't. So you usually have to find a way to buff his output. But if you do, he's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah. The issue is that, like, the people that can take them are hordes. And then you're, like, running into the, well, I have this unlimited resource. Well, my warcaster has too much of that. I'm going to take it away and put Dahlia and Scareth in my list.
Yeah.
It's like, that's brilliant true. Tactical decisions.
So, really, to be in a realm of being playable, they're going to have to match up or do better than in some cases. Other than, like, cause separating out, like, Animus concerns. They're going to be more flexible.
Well,
but
here's the thing, too. For them to generate Fury, you have to take a beast with them. And if they're Fury 4, you have to generate 4 Fury.
I think Josh did actually bring up a very potentially valid point, is if, like, War Beast packs are inexpensive and you can generate enough Fury that's... It makes perfect sense why they're coming out on the same book.
Yeah, and if they can pull Fury off the Warbeast packs, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works. But
oh, what's that thing we were talking about?
It's weird to compare it to the current Lesser Warlocks just because, like, these don't come with, right? Like, Rongai comes with Snapjaw, and Snapjaw is, like, that's a 7-point heavy.
I mean, we can just compare it to the Beast Mistress.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit, although we just haven't seen people play that enough to...
I mean,
I've seen enough Beast Mistresses for a lifetime.
Like, Legion has the most potential, right? The Beast Mistress is potentially playable because they can spend 4 points.
Yeah.
And, right.
One of the things we were talking about in the car on the way back from Adepticons, or TempleCon, was a million years ago, was that maybe the troll guy will be worth it just for being able to power up the Creel Stone even faster. And I freaked out and was like, that's going to be awesome. And then we actually looked it up.
At the Creel Stone.
And it doesn't.
Because he's not a warlock.
Because he's not a warlock.
Maybe he'll have a special rule.
He's like, I
says,
hope
it says,
so.
It's like special rule.
In defense of the Creels. What else defends the Creel besides the Creel Stone? Right?
I agree, Josh.
Yeah.
Special
rule. I'm 100%
rule.
For this.
Special rule banker.
Banker. Troll paymaster.
But yeah, as all... Just as referenced by the lesser warlocks that do exist, they almost always have to camp two or so.
Oh, yeah.
So running beasts on them is sort of tricky, I guess. Like, you're usually only going to end up with one. Because you only want to spend two, sometimes three, fury with them.
That's why the only thing that I can think of that really makes sense for Horgul is if he has a special rule that's like pyre trolls and slag trolls gain boosted damage rolls on their ranged weapons or something. Like pyre trolls and slag trolls ranged weapons gain boosted damage rolls for free.
Yeah.
So then he can take one of each, or he can take two pyre trolls or whatever, and then... two, they can each spend one fury to boost to attack roll, and then they get the boosted damage rolls for free. And then he can just camp two. And that's sort of parity and still decent value because you're just getting some boosted Pal-12s. But I don't know, like, that seems like too much. Like, they would get, like that's too much for what, you know.
Because I feel like if that was the rule, then you'd put a bomber on him.
I said pyre trolls and slag trolls only.
Oh, okay. Because
right, it specifically
that.
Calls.
Yeah.
It's just like all bombers
are hotshot.
That's the thing. If he just boosted all like attack rolls, obviously. Yeah. But it specifically calls out pyre trolls and slag trolls. So I was thinking like,
maybe
for that reason, then I could be like, okay. And he makes them cheaper, so sweet. Like I'll take him for 3 points, and then I'll spend 8 points for two pyre trolls.
Yeah,
and then I've got a bunch of Pyre Troll Animus spam if I want it, and two boostable Rat 5.
I mean, what if he just choirs them?
Two boostable Rat 5 Pow 12s, you know, or two fully boosted Rat 5 Pow 12s.
How often do you see warlocks not casting some sweet spell that they'd like to cast because they have to get, like, Animi out? Like, is that a
fairly
regular thing?
In Circle?
It happens in Trolls a lot.
Because I'm just,
trolls.
Like, if all these guys are is just, like, reallocate your like support beast to this guy, and then he's your animus bot, and then now your warlock can actually like move up and do more offensive sort of things. Like maybe that's good enough to take them.
That's pretty. That is why there aren't any.
Yeah, because like, there's all literally of your just animi are itself, right?
Well,
yeah.
All the light war beast animi are self.
Yeah,
only.
Yeah.
So except for the Gorax and the regular Argus,
and maybe the new Griffin.
Yeah, which is why she is.
The Gorax is so funny on. So because spam that animus. primal. Yes.
Boosh.
This is the best turn ever. Uh oh.
The most I've ever wanted to cast that animus is twice, and that's only like on game winning turns.
You're
like, I'm just gonna make sure this works. So in order to win the game, I'm gonna cast primal twice.
Yeah, it's so that is why I still think the troll has the most potential. Actually, the Scorn one has potential for just being a walking deflection.
Oh,
just put a Kree on him, and they just have three Kree like bubbles
that's
up, and
definitely
just be like
true.
Deflection.
That could be pretty legit, actually.
Yeah.
So, or,
no, that's cool.
Or they have. I mean, Scorn actually has a plethora of good light animus options, like the Raider.
They have Snipe,
Lurker,
Rush. I mean, they have a lot of really good.
Well, Rush is on heavy, but.
Right.
In that faction.
You're probably not going to put the Gladiator on.
Yeah. But I mean, I was just
thinking. That'd be a little weird.
Of like, if you have that guy and like two Kriyas, then it's just like your entire army gets plus two defense and armor. For
I don't know. Actually, putting a Gladiator. Because the Gladiator frequently is that like late game piece for them that just sits in the back, which is where you want Zadish to be anyway. And they're just like, they're both just like, rush that.
Yeah.
The thing is, they have Paingivers. So.
They do have a lot of very good Fury.
See, he's saying, normally the Gladiator has Rush, and then a Paingiver is just like, doop.
That's certainly true.
Because they don't all have to do the same.
Yeah.
Require.
I don't know. That's why, I mean, to me, that's why it sounds like this guy, per the fluff blurbs, It sounds like this guy has the most powerful.
Yeah, Zadesh has the given the existence of pain givers, he has the most potential to run a serious battle group on his own.
Sure,
but yeah, he also is the least.
But he's in the faction where they least need.
Yeah, that he's also the least like capable. He's the most capable, but he's like the least that wants to or whatever.
I'm
like,
telling you, just the Kriya field.
Maybe
that's it.
I'm trying to think. But if he actually has synergy, like I really do think like six of those little flank hounds.
The reptile hounds. The problem with that is that they have to be in his control radius to gain the buff. So they're going to be attacking things within 8 inches of him.
Right.
And
so he's going to be up there.
Yeah.
And then camp a lot of transfers.
Well, and then they don't even if you have three of them on him, that's going to be 9 points. And that only gets up to a POW 13, right?
Do they still benefit from synergy if they make a frenzy attack?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's okay, right? You just run them hot.
No, it's
like, and then
charge something out of your control radius.
No, I get that. But, like, if you're just like, if his whole deal is like upkeep synergy, camp three. And that's like all he does every turn, and he just moves at the table like he's hard to kill.
This actually
potentially,
as long as he has warp.
This actually has some potential with what's his name, the B caster from Scorn. Hexeris Dew, because like there's a lot of times where like due to like order of activations and stuff, like you feed with him and like pull all of his stuff back and then like spend it all, and then you don't have enough fury for like the next turn sometimes. Mm-hmm. You have to like cut yourself, like if you're playing against War Machine, because you can't steal focus off their casters.
Right.
So, I don't know.
He actually might work pretty good with somebody like Morgul 1, because it allows him to like extend outside of his control area, and then you can still, I think you can still abuse.
You can.
Like,
you,
the beast on him, so.
Someone in that faction has occultation, right?
I don't think so.
That somebody did.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Drawn blanks. Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's a caster in Scorn that like doesn't want to be bothered with a battle group, but it doesn't really.
Because of pain givers, they're not fussed. They just aren't.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this topic for a while.
Mm.
How about some dojo?
Okay.
Sounds good. I'm glad that you're on board with this. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
John, were these new lists that you've come up with for Tom here?
They are.
All right. For Tom Kwan.
this first list, actually...
I don't know who that is.
This is a topic that... maybe we'll get into. We're talking about SR 2014. So this first Testament of Menoth list is one that I kind of developed with SR 2014 in mind. So here's the list. It's a Devout, 2 units of Daughters of the Flame, 2 units of Knights Exemplar, full Vengers, full Flamebringers, Rax, Gorman, Ion Unholt, and Saxon Orc.
Wait, what now?
You know, Hot Carl will sell you 20 units of Flamebringers for $20.
Oh my god, that's an incredible deal.
No, dang it. That's not the unit I'm thinking of.
No, Cenerators.
I'm thinking of Cenerators.
Yeah.
That's all right, Flamebringers makes sense. Never mind.
No, Flamebringers. The thing with this list is Daughters of the Flame are advanced deployment and
this
speed
list is
7.
Disappointingly good.
Avengers are speed 8, Flamebringers are speed 9, and you literally are in their face, and then you make really good use out of the two primary things that Tom brings to the table. Number 1, it's very... three things. Number 1, Ashen Veil is very good with Daughters of the Flame.
And Flamebringers.
Also very good with Flamebringers. reviving Flamebringers or Avengers is going to be money on every turn. Daughters of the Flame and Knights... Actually, reviving Knights Exemplar is actually really money, too. So, the other thing is, with all that speed, like, his feet is really threatening all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Because you have things that charge 13 inches... pretty easily, or things with sidestep and, you know, going through your army. So I just thought it would be really fun. And the nice thing is, I kind of want to get Anastasia Debray in the list, because going first with this list would be really powerful, because you literally are setting the line of engagement way up the field.
Just out of your curiosity, because I don't know the wording on this rule, does revive with Knight's Exemplar get retarded or
no?
Or,
okay. No,
it reduces
so you can't get up to like armor 30.
No,
for example,
you can't. But the nice thing, the reason why I really like Knight's Exemplar are actually two reasons. with Revive Caster when I thought about it. The more you kill of them, the harder they get to kill.
So which makes it easier to revive.
Yeah.
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 So they can't wipe out the whole
unit. Yeah. They can't wipe unless out. It's hard. Like... It's more difficult to wipe out the whole unit.
Without snipers.
That's pretty clever. Yeah. I'm surprised I hadn't thought
and
about
that. And when you revive from one guy to two, that guy you revived is a very dangerous missile.
Yep. Very, yeah, exactly. Because
it's like POW 15.
Yeah. POW 15 Weapon Masters get things done.
Yeah, the only thing, real quick,
because I used to play some of these units back when I played Menoth. I don't remember. Do Daughters have Pathfinder?
No.
Okay.
No,
do
so that's...
Flamebringers have Pathfinder?
The Flamebringers do have Pathfinder.
The Flamebringers do. Vengers can get it.
They have Battle-Driven.
They will probably have it a fair amount of time.
Yeah, they will.
It's a decently Pathfinder-y list for Protectorate. Yep. The only question I have is... Is it? Do you feel that you have enough bodies to fuel his soul engine?
Well, there's 24 Daughters of the Flame and Knights Exemplar on top of the medium bases, so I felt like it was pretty decent.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Yeah, like it should be good enough.
No, that was the only. Thing
I think I like this list a lot, and I'm surprised that we haven't seen Testament in the last couple of years. Yeah. Like it's been forever since I saw anyone play Testament.
Chuck was the last person I saw really bring him out.
Yeah,
and he was playing Avatar and the Fire Salvation, a little different.
I forgot that Flamebringers had Weapon Master until I was talking to Bryn Holdstock about it a couple of like a month ago now.
Yep.
And I was like, maybe those guys are better than I thought that they were. I don't
Power
know.
9 Weapon Master?
Yep.
Yeah, but two attacks and that's Weapon Master.
The primary reason why I put Gorman and Ion on hold the list is to give the list some punch.
Sure.
So, you know, I can definitely power those guys up pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's decent. Like, I got to play it, but I kind of like it. I
really want to see you play it.
Yeah. I don't know.
The only question I have is, do you feel that Testament is going to be in danger?
That's why I have a Devout.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can use like Vengers or Flamebringers to sort of create a bunker for him. It's not like an invincible.
And Gorman.
Bunker. Yeah. And then I've got a Gorman Cloud. Like I've put defenses in the list. And then he also camps pretty well. Sometimes it's hard to camp because you want to revive too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've definitely had turns where he's been like armor 24. You know, and you're just like, hey, whatever.
Yeah. You make that decision when it's necessary.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Like I said, he has a Devout. He has a Gorman Cloud. He has large bases to hide behind. He has racks, which are actually kind of hard for him to use. So
yeah, the only thing that I don't love in the list actually is potentially that.
Yeah, it's just 1 point, and then it's either mechanics or a rack. Yeah. So.
Well, no, I was also thinking, and this is something that you'd probably need to figure out on the table, which is Sax and Orc, like...
Necessary
in the list, because if not, there's like 3 points there that you could be like.
I think he is.
I really like him in this list.
After having played Warders a number of times, I can say that you can generally rely on Battle Driven getting triggered 90% of the time, but every once in a while you'll play against an opponent who is aware enough to make a decision that they'll just target other models because they know that you know you're behind. You've got enough guys behind walls or behind rough terrain or whatever that even though it looks like you should be within threat range because they can choose whether or not you get Pathfinder, they can just decide to ignore that unit and target other things. So
the primary thing I like about this list is the speed.
Yeah.
And then with Revive, it's actually really gross because...
Is this primarily an assassination list?
I mean, I think it's a... I feel like it's a scenario list.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take ground really fast, and then because of...
Revive?
Yeah, like...
And because of the feet, you can...
Feet seems assassination scary.
Yeah.
It is, like, because you can double down with the feet and have either the assassination, the revive assassination threat, because if they kill too many... Say they kill 4 Vengers, and you've got the one guy left, and so you can revive, do a revive chain out, and maybe get 3 cav charges on a caster. Sure. Like, that's probably a dead caster.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly a lot of damage. And then it should push casters out of the game. Like, they have to respect
feet.
But yeah. I was just saying that it should be a good scenario list as well for the feet because people do the thing where they layer a line to block their second line so that you can't clear out in a zone entirely, you know, and just stall you out that way. Like, you can get all the way back into a zone.
Yeah, and then Flamebringers and Vengers both can do so much work on the feet turn because they're just going to be going through everything and just getting where they need to be and...
See.
Impact attacks with incorporeal are a little awkward, though.
yep, but they're optional.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to take them, but
yeah,
if you take them and fail it, yep, that's embarrassing.
You're just like, awkward.
Yeah. What?
But what you do is you charge something where you get into impact range of something and have reach to the charge target. That's when you take your impact, and then you don't lose your charge attack.
What command are daughters?
I think they're 9. They might be 8.
I'm pretty sure they're 9.
Okay.
It's entirely possible that they're 8. But that's the other thing, too. Wait, like,
are we talking about
Daughters of the Flame?
Daughters of the Flame. Oh, I think they're 8. They're 8.
They're definitely 8.
Yeah, they're 8.
Yep.
I thought we were talking about Flamebringers.
So, I mean, I could switch
Sexton for Rupert.
For Rupert,
if
really
he's
easy.
He's not in your other. That was.
Yeah.
Because I used to play Daughters all the time, and they are so bananas when they, like, 1, live, and then 2, like, don't accidentally bump into a Tartarus or something.
Yeah.
Because then they're just, or like a Doom Reaver, and then they're just like, God, poop my pants.
Oh, it was so scary.
Yeah. Because they will, right? I mean, they just like murder infantry.
The other thing I really like about this list is the number of things it gives your opponent to think about, because you've got 2 units of acrobatic daughters. You have the feet with things that go forever. You've got sidestepping Flamebringers. Like, you just have, and then you have Revive.
High so power have, weapon masters.
Yeah, you've got vectors on vectors on vectors that should really. Really make them have to really consider what
I think you want. I want you to commit right now, John, to play 3 games with this list.
In what time?
This
year? I don't know. Like,
Nigel and I played 3 games in 2 hours last Wednesday.
Hey, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, I heard that you stole his lunch money. Poor guy. Why are you picking on him?
It was just basically like I was trying to show him all the ways that Zerkova could die to shit. And he wanted to know all the ways. So.
He kept like moving Zerkova up, and I was like, give stuff to put in front of her? And he's like, nah, it's my. I popped my feet, and I'm like, she's super dead. Super dead. And he's like, no, it's fine. And like, Godspeed, gentlemen. Boom. Commodore cannon fires. Zerkova dies. It's just like, try again?
Rack him up.
Josh, we don't pick on the slow kids.
I know.
Just pick on fat people.
That's what I do.
I feel like that was aimed at me.
Man. I don't know why you
I mean, it could
like
be aimed at any of us, really.
Keeping the Nige down.
But I thought you were going to go a different way with that, which is I could aim anywhere and it would hit you, John.
Oh!
You son
of a boy. So I was going in that direction? Swoosh.
I thought you were going to go in that direction.
Looking at this list, and this kind of segues into one of our later topics, which I guess we can do now and then come back for other dojo.
If you skip my dojo 2 weeks in a row,
we won't skip it. I promise we'll come back to it because I like it.
It looks like it can take ground.
Are you proud of
my
that?
My concern is with its ability to hold ground. Because the Protectorate Infantry is not well known for its incredible defensive stats.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is
that's
2,
what Ash
2 units of Daughters of Flame and, you know, the Flamebringers. Like, it's pseudo-low model count and some pretty squishy models.
Well, a little bit, but you're reviving them back, too.
They're
low model count.
I would argue that they're squishy. They're squishy to certain kinds of attacks. They, like, Daughters, if you don't have a reliably hot, like accurate unit or
basically
attack,
if you don't have Deadeye
and
blast,
you don't and you don't have blast AOE. Damage are a tremendous pain, especially with that spell he has,
Ashenvale. Yeah,
sure.
Like, it's a huge pain.
Sure.
And then, if you don't have Deadeye Nis or Deadeye Gun Mages
also,
or Pie Plates.
I mean, Avengers are battle driven, and then the Knights Exemplar get +1 armor every time one dies, so it like, it's not a super tanky list. It's like, there's no tar pit, per se, but it doesn't, I don't feel like it needs one. So, because of Revive.
Yeah. My only thing is, if Rupert is not in your other list, obviously the switch for Saxon Orc to Rupert.
Yeah, it makes sense. I forgot about the, I
Command
usually play
A.
all Fearless troops, so
yeah,
it's hard
Command
for me to remember that.
So
yeah,
my point there was in 2014, unlike 2013, taking ground isn't enough to win games. You also have to hold it. Because in order to win on scenario, you have to be present for probably 3 turns.
I think the Revive helps that a little bit with this list specifically. But that's definitely like a truth for 2014. We speculated at the beginning of the year that 2014 would be a little bit better for trolls than 2013 is, and so far that experience has been 100% true
that
for me.
That plus warders, which are particularly excellent in this year's scenario pack.
I'm not going to lie. I started looking at Testament just because of Chad.
Yeah.
You guys have no idea how much you all inspire me at times.
Yeah, I think I do.
I'm just like, I don't like getting my stuff pushed in. I need a solution.
So you think Tom can beat Crystal's Miserable Meat Man?
I think Tom Kwan can.
I think Testament Amanoff has tools to build the list right. Just because, like... Just
the KE missiles?
Yeah, just nonstop reviving Weapon Masters and charging into, like... You know, I get to bring my guys back, and he doesn't. His guys are hardier, but I get to bring mine back, so... I'm not sure.
KE missiles are pretty big problem. I mean, hopefully... Yeah, Crescendo doesn't even reliably kill them once they get, like, huge armor.
I'm actually extremely concerned about this.
They get up to armor 20.
How far do they charge?
8.5 inches.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm getting very
especially with
about
inhospitable
this.
Ground.
Yeah.
Well, I can give them Pathfinder. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Epic Gristle, not...
Right.
Because I was just
killing
her. Cacophony is just like, nice exemplar missile, but...
Oh, P. Gristle would be really good against that list, specifically.
Yeah. I'd have to revive, like... I'd have to spend a lot of time reviving... Flamebringers and Avengers outside of Cacophony and getting in there.
The only thing is, Pico might not be accurate enough. The daughters and the daughters and the Flamebringers with Ashen Veil might be tough.
Whereas Crystal 2 can just be like, bow!
Yeah, Crystal 2 is just like, bow! Oh, look, I just killed three.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. This list actually wasn't built with the Miserable Meat Mountain in mind. My other Testament list was built with the Miserable Meat Mountain.
I'm so flattered, John.
As an aside, I am actually. Maybe it's just happening here, but I am somewhat concerned about this, what seems to be like a armor upswing happening.
Well, that's called the meta shift. It just happens in competitive games.
I think it's a product of this year's scenario packet, because scenarios are no longer... They don't favor a blitz anymore. Like, a blitz gets you up in points, but it's also... Like, with the combination swing to death clock... Like, now blitzes are ineffective.
Yeah, well,
last year they were effective, they're no longer effective.
I just mean as like a...
And so, as a result of that, if people are still trying to win on scenario, they're like, well, I have to blitz into a zone and then sit there, so how do I do that? And it's following up your front line with an armor line.
Fast bricks, dude.
If only skinwalkers...
speeding bricks. Faster than a speeding brick. More powerful. Anyway,
that's called a thrown brick, I think.
If only skinwalkers could kill other medium-based infantry.
Nope.
Yeah, this is problematic.
They can kill Tharn.
Circle has no... Yes.
They can also kill Bastions. Bastions are pretty squishy.
And Black Ogre and Boarding Party.
I'm pretty sure Bastions win that fight.
Just keep cutting to reroll their damage rolls until they... until they kill
them. I'm pretty
sure
the Skinwalkers win that fight easily between Bastions and Skinwalkers. Like, they're faster, twice as many attacks.
Yep.
And the damage transfers don't help that much, like, against a unit with twice as many attacks.
And rerolls. Rerolls, yo.
Yeah, bro.
But like,
I want to say that they're not going to always have rerolls, but yeah.
Rerolls.
Rerolls are definitely a thing.
I was watching Chris play against my brother, and my brother stupid, like, all the Gators list. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, the only thing in this list that can kill those Gators reliably are Warpole Stalkers. And there are 17 more Gators than Warpole Stalkers. It was some ridiculous number.
One-on-one, a skinwalker, a charging skinwalker will kill a gator. The problem is that the gators significantly outthrow
them. Right. Well, and the gators are...
Also, the gators also often kill the skinwalker one-on-one, so...
Especially with Barnabas, they're just like... And then he's like, oh god, skinwalkers, I need an animus to make you amphibious. That's what the dog does. It's a water dog.
Holy crap, actually, gators are like the perfect counter to skinwalkers. Because if they dirge of mist, then they can't even... Then, like, half the time they even just get missed.
Yeah. Yep.
No, not skinwalkers. Warpole Stalkers. I wasn't talking about skinwalkers.
I was.
Yeah, we were tangenting and ignoring you. I'm sorry. We didn't hold up a sign.
Tangenting is not a thing. That's not a real word.
Tangenting?
Hold on. If we're going to stop and point out every time one of us doesn't say a real word... That's going to go down a really bad place.
I was just going to do it just for John.
Okay. It's probably still going to...
I thought we were supposed to go dark and weird.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Can I make a point? If I play three games with this Testament list, am I no longer a ducker?
Sure, because it'll never happen.
What? If you guys all agree to it and agree to like adhere to it, I think maybe we could beat this thing together. That's as fine. A group.
Yeah,
we
can sure, beat whatever. This thing. Yeah,
like it's cancer.
So,
not yeah, kill
fantastic,
it!
Fantastic.
Why thank you,
I,
Chad.
Why didn't I get one of those?
You didn't go to Temple Gun.
Yeah.
Yep, for free.
So this year, it's definitely I think harder to win on scenario.
There's no Jenny 2, whoops, I feeded.
No, which is fine. I mean, a lot of the changes you can point to, like, this happened because Denny and Haley exist, this happened. I mean, that's happened since Steamroller was invented. We're, like, oh, God, we have to change Steamroller because of Baldur.
Really,
like, that happened.
Really gross thing happened at the other day at the store, which we realized was probably incorrect. Because a couple of years ago, you used to not be able to do this, and I somehow from, like, the 2012 and or 13 packet, it didn't make the transition into the 2014 packet. But, like, some of the objectives, like the one in Destruction, they can't engage or be engaged. And they have a 360 arc.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a Veil 2 player throwing Oculi at the objective and then just obliterating their caster every turn.
Oh.
That got overlooked.
I think that's always been that way.
No, because in 2012 it wasn't. Because we looked back at old packets, and then like 2012, like you couldn't.
Doesn't she have to be
that.
Within 8 inches of the objective?
Yeah, but she has refuge.
That's pretty good.
It feels like if a Veil is within 8 inches of the objective,
it's
your
10.
Caster is within. Oh, I thought it was 8.
I'm pretty sure it's 10. 10 inches on an Oculus?
For the Oculus, it might be different between Veils.
To the war room.
But I think it is 10.
I think it is 10, if not
Veil 2.
It's I'm like
but
90,
whatever.
I'm like 90%
it's
10 sure
inches
it's 10.
From that, and then she has refuge. So if she is 16 inches away from the objective at the end of the turn, which is where normally casters sit.
Yeah.
Right that around. Is so sick that refuge triggers off of that.
Yeah, because like Dylan did it. Dylan's like the Legion Hofer came, like was just like crump this question. I was like,
yeah, I guess.
This seems really dumb. Let me make sure this works not this way. And then there was nothing that showed like it doesn't work that way. And I was just like, this is stupid. And Dylan's like, Oculus it, oblate your caster. I was just like, this is the dumbest thing. It's like, Oculus, oblate your caster, refuge back.
Be more than oblate range away from an objective. You can measure. You know?
Yeah.
God, I had a question like that earlier today. One of my friends talked to me on Skype and he was just like, hey, so what happens if Severius feats on Scar? Does she still gain the D6 focus from the ritual sacrifice?
She yes. does.
Yeah, she does. But I was just like, I don't know. Let's check.
But yeah, I don't know if that question had been asked before this year.
What rule prevented it in the past?
There was just some... I forgot what it was specifically. But
You know, it just occurred to me.
There was
that,
something.
That Testament list I just talked about.
Yes.
Harbinger runs that list really well.
Yep.
Because... Keith, we went to the rules forum to like figure that out, and there was a question from the 2012 packet involving it, and
it's range 8.
It didn't work then.
Well,
Veil 2 as well.
Yep.
She's got to be 14 inches away from it.
Oh, I was looking at regular Veil. It's range 10. Okay. I'm the best.
He gives and takes away.
I don't. I mean, it's definitely interesting to be able to turn like that objective into a.
It just cannon. Feels to me like if she's 16 inches from your objective. I don't know. I guess it depends on the scenario.
It's a long friggin' way.
It depends on a million things.
I mean, it was destruction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So she was roughly at the 14-inch line?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Destruction is a different scenario. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm thinking about the ones where the objective is like... But yeah, okay. Sure. Anyway.
So...
we decided to skip over the JoJo's.
I said we segued into it. We'll come
I
back.
Don't listen to what you say.
So it's harder to win this year, and we've noticed an armor shift towards higher armor. So it's a question of where we go from here, I guess.
So do you guys just want to actually frame this in like what are we thinking about for meta?
Buy Kaiatus, invest in her now. Her stock is going way up. buy.
Because I mean, this really I think really relates really well to like how we pick our list pairs for today's meta. Thinking about SR 2014 and thinking about the armor shift that we're seeing in the meta. Like, it kind of has changed list pairings, I think. Because I feel like Menoth actually got caught with their pants down a little bit. Like, they're struggling a little bit right now. Nobody believes me when I say that.
But. Here's my thoughts on the armor shift. This is something I've thought about a decent amount. I think that it is going to be very strong for a very small amount of time, because it does not take the meta very long to shift to account for that.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
They're actually going to put Banes back on their list?
Yeah. I mean, just the all of the things are just going to start coming back out of the woodwork, you know, Colossals. And I mean, because there was a time when Colossals first started coming out that people were just like, yeah, armor. You know, huge box model, like huge models with, you know, tons of boxes and tons of armor. And the meta was like, make this list as redundant for armor killing as it possibly can be. You know, put in every...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Put in Ragman and Gorman and Alexia and Iris and, you know, Ayana and Holt, like, all in one list and just blow a thing out. Like, but, I mean, it wasn't just you, Keith. Like, it was everyone.
Yeah.
Here's why that armor swing I gave literally no craps about, and the current armor swing I care about a lot, is it is really easy to kill one high armor model. It is extremely difficult to kill 25 of them.
Who puts 25 high armor models on the table?
All right,
he is
so
exaggerating.
Like 5, 10, 15.
Traditional crump style.
Sorry, 16.
17, but yeah.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
Well, did you count them all?
Yeah.
Did you count your caster?
18.
Yeah. Suck it. What did I exaggerate? Didn't I say 25 or something?
Yeah, so 20.
Whatever! I exaggerated by 7.
You exaggerated by 25%.
Classic crump markup.
My brother had... How many? 8 units times 5?
Your brother plays Gators. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Keep this in mind when you go to Crump's Legit Tournament. Just bring a 62-point list.
Like, I gave it the crump markup.
62 seems a little
It's
low.
Basically 50.
Yeah.
It's like practically.
He's not going to check the list. I barely tell you that.
I barely exaggerated the points on this list. I just barely.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, for a crump markup, it'd be more like an 80-point list.
But it wasn't. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to solve the multiple pull, hard to kill, medium based infinite. Yeah, I'll just change my faction. I'll go back to red and play a sign. Problem solved. All right.
Boom. You fixed it. Good job.
Quite thoroughly.
It is.
You were saying Epic Kaya earlier.
Yeah, but that's, like, still problematic because, right, like, one circle heavy will probably kill, like,
here's,
I don't know, like,
here's the
three
problem.
Orders, maybe.
Two.
It's very, very difficult to solve for high armor medium bases with heavy warjacks or war beasts. Because you can't really do that. So you need a different option.
That's interesting. I actually, the Nomad is one of my go-to answers to fight against.
That's also only 6 points.
Yeah, but I'm just like, like when I'm like, I want to kill some medium-based multi-wound infantry, like... I do reach for my warjack. Like, that's...
It's funny. I don't think a Nomad would do specifically well in this specific situation.
Against your specific, like, warders are a special
nightmare.
That's
what we're talking about in particular.
I'm just trying to figure out, like...
I don't think that... The thing is, like, because you guys have been thinking a lot about my list. We actually haven't played a lot of games about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that my list is, like, propagating. And it's not even, like, it's because it's our list. Like, we made it.
Yeah, no, Warders isn't the all of it. It's just the worst.
It's the best example of it. Like, it's the...
Sure.
But it's, when I go to solve for that problem, though, that's the problem I solve for. And then I catch everything else in the crossfire.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think it might be a local thing. Because, as I said, my brother started playing, like, you know, 8 units of 3-man Gators.
Yeah, 24
Gatorman.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And, like, I watched Chris do it, and I was just like, this is a problem. First circle, this is a problem, right? Start naming Weapon Masters.
Slaughterhouses.
Dude, I can play Thorn Ravagers. They're POW 15s. They'll, like, kill one and then die.
Slaughterhouses.
Wolf Lord Morag.
Hey.
Whoa, we got one. Congratulations, you named the one in the faction. You got it.
Hold on. Wolves of Ouroboros pierce the thickest armor.
Oh, you forgot the other weapon master.
Grail.
One other. Boosh, she got it!
Let me tell you how broken up I am that there are armies out there that you can't just double Hellmouth off the table. I'm so broken up about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah, we're seeing a skew away from that. Can't double Hellmouth.
You know what warders really hate? getting pushed 3 inches away and then slowed down by 2 speed.
That is the actual that is the current best solution is have 3 Warpool Stalkers grind off the front of the army, sprint away, and then Kruger feet, and then hopefully repeat. And hopefully you have killed enough things so that the 2 champions left over can't kill 3 Warpool Stalkers.
Questionable.
Yeah. It could easily happen. This is why she's just like, blip, they're knocked down. And then one's just like, kadoosh, she's dead. And then the other one's like, kadoosh, got that one, boss. And then it's just like a Stalker versus Gristle. And it's like, this is...
Also Mulg.
Yeah. Problematic.
I wish... God, I think if trolls get a... Reach Warbeast. Just a Warbeast with a tree. Not even a non-magical tree would be fine. Like, I might be an
just
Unforced.
A regular old stick.
Just yeah. Bulg.
Yeah, exactly.
Bulg's so slightly handicapped brother.
So there are some...
He's holding the tree from the wrong end.
Yeah. He's like, I still smash. Pal 18.
So if the 2014 plan is... take and hold ground, not as quickly as it was taken in the past. Generally speaking, how do you go about countering that?
I'm finding a lot of my games... I mean, part of this is because I've been specifically looking to do it lately, but a lot of my games in this scenario are ending on caster kill because it's just much quicker to end the game that way mm-hmm. than it just
yep.
is.
Caster kill is one option.
Also, they made... because they pushed up the scenarios a lot of the time, and they pushed up... and then also kill boxes... everywhere. It's just every other every other scenario is kill
box. It is 40% of them.
It's so. 5 of 12.
It's 5 of 12, but it's also all of the tournament organizers' favorite scenarios ever.
Yeah.
So yeah. You literally play that. You literally play kill box 3 out of 4 scenarios.
That's the thing. Is like it is 5 of 12 scenarios, which you're like, oh, that's not too bad. But then you think about the last tournament you played in, and you're like, oh, 80% of my rounds were to kill box rounds or more. But
that's good for you, right?
For me, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not good for me.
But I'm just saying, like, assassination is definitely more...
On the table
this year, which I think
sure.
is good.
Sure.
I don't mind it.
And it's actually, that's another thing that's good for troll blood players. Like, the more you pump up assassination, I think the stronger trolls get. Because they resist that, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's actually why I've been loving Kruger so much this scenario, this year is... Well,
great gunner specials.
One from just... No, because there aren't shifting stones in my army, so I can't do it.
What? Oh.
But, like...
L to play, noob.
The hit-run tactic... Like, I feel like I would struggle to play the classic Will Pagani-style Chromac in this scenario packet. Because there's, nothing to...
I don't know about that. Because the strategy sort of that I've been employing more... against take-and-hold type armies... is focus. For me, I focus on not losing to the scenario
mm-hmm.
rather than attempting to win it. I just need to not lose it and then grind.
Yeah, there's definitely some scenarios where I've found it's very viable where you're just like, I'm going to give up a point this turn, and that's okay to give up a point because it's going to get me ahead on positioning and this battle, and that point will not, like, it's...
In
it
kill
takes
box.
Like, too long.
Or in death clock.
In death clock, yeah.
That doesn't... That's not as good in...
It's not as good in time turns, you're right.
That is
you're
what
right.
I was doing, actually.
And that was something I didn't feel like I could do last year.
That is something I took full advantage of in my game against Jeremy in Masters at Mayhem Cup. Mm-hmm. Was they were just like... there were just, like, 3 turns where I was just like, have a point. Have a point.
Yeah,
have a point. Oh, look, you have 5 models left on the table. Have no more points.
Yep.
That was my mistake in my game against David Smith. I think that's... I might have messed that name up. Sorry.
No, that's... You got it. Agent player.
Yeah, is that... I mean, he was out threading me anyway, but I was like, oh, I should be safe, so I should back up. When I should have just realized that I was going to get hit no matter what, so I should just save myself losing some scenario points and then just grind it.
Were you playing...
Runes of War.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a, right? Saren. So that's a decision to make now is whether or not... Is your level of investment in scenario, which where last year I don't think anything other than total commitment was acceptable.
Oh, God, I gave him a point. I am literally one more turn and I have lost this game.
Yeah. It's very possible for me to lose in one turn.
Yeah. It does depend on the scenarios, because there are still some of those scenarios where you're like, oh, you didn't like contest the zone fully this turn. Spadoosh, score 3 points. Go.
Yeah.
Like destruction, you can't really afford.
There's a couple you can score four.
There are a couple scenarios you can win in two turns if your opponent just allows you to do.
I believe there are some 2-turn wins. I don't think there are any 4-point scores anymore. I might be wrong.
There are.
No, there definitely is. I scored 4 points against.
I saw you play one last week.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how the scenario works.
It's the one with the.
It's a far zone and a close zone, and then objectives.
So it's like dominate the close zone.
There aren't any dominate
threes. That one you can only score three.
No, that's the one where the objective contests the flag, so you can destroy the objective for one, dominate one flag
for two,
and control the other flag for
three. I knew that there was one.
Oh, that's fire support.
The one
fire
that I was playing last week, you can only score three because
you're right. Because if you just control the close zone,
you can only dominate your close zone.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
because all of the old dominate threes have been knocked down to two.
Right. Yep.
That's good.
It is good. I think it is.
My favorite change of this entire packet is. Three flags.
Oh,
incursion.
Yeah.
I like when you're playing Gordon, you're no longer like, cross my fingers, come on.
Yeah.
The incursion change, and the change I'm talking about for people that might not be familiar, most people probably know, but is that the middle flag is no longer allowed to disappear in the three flag, in incursion.
The one thing I don't like about incursion, the way it is now, is I think they've moved the flags too far apart.
Potentially.
Otherwise, it's good.
Yeah, maybe. It depends. Like, it is sometimes hard in the early game, like with the Gordon list. Like, I know, like, if I move towards the middle flag, like, I'll be okay. But, like, being able to know which, like, to be being able to cover to split off to both sides, either side, is sometimes difficult.
I found in incursion that more often than not, I am betting on a side to go off because of my army composition is not fast enough
to
hedge my bets.
Well, now you got Tom.
Right. I think an SR-2014 speed is a real advantage, but
it's actually I kind of weirded out how they changed incursion, because like that's the only scenario where after turn two you're literally playing half the table.
Yeah,
sometimes it's just less. It's just weird. You're just like, oh well, we can now put our bags on this half of the table because no models are going to go over there anymore. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it's just
that was definitely true in that. Rule book release event. Did you see that? With the river down the middle of the table?
Yes.
What?
The book release scenario was there was a river down the center of the table. I don't think the dimensions of the river were specified.
No.
But it usually ended up being like about 5 inches across.
Sure.
Up the whole, bisecting the table.
Sure.
On the back edge of one table, there was effectively a colossal that was like a boat. And then near the back edge of that table, like 17 inches up or 16 inches up, something like that, was an objective. And it was like the objective basically could play hopscotch with any warjack or the warcaster just placed to the other side of it. And the victory condition was get the objective to the boat, or if you were on the other side, blow up the boat.
And it was like 25 boxes with armor 20 or something like that.
So the other half of the table that didn't have a boat and an objective on it was just, like, you would never go there. Like, if you're the defender, literally no reason to go.
Every single table was just, basically, they were playing on 2x4 tables. Like, their entire army was all on one side of the river. The other side of the table was completely blank.
Oh, so, like, the objective was and the boat were on the same half of the table?
Yeah.
They didn't put, like, the boat on one half and the objective
on the
other?
No, the boat's in the middle.
Centered. Oh, God.
And then the objective's, like, off to the side.
Okay. Yeah, but that's easily avoidable if they just put the boat on one side, the objective on the other.
Yeah.
Because then at some point they have to, like, Oregon trail it over the river.
But instead, and it was almost like they were playing on a quarter of a table, because eventually there's no reason for the defensive player to move over the center line. So it's just like all the effort was focused into this one quarter of the table.
See, that's why you should have had like a journeyman with a hunter. Just on the other side of the table, just off in no man's land, just slowly like dun 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 dun, dun coming up to the boat. Can't ignore this. Cuckoo.
So anyway, 2014.
I've won more on scenario in 2014 than I did in 2013, but it's probably because I was playing that in 2013.
I've won way more on scenario. I didn't I don't remember winning a scenario ever in 2013.
I have won very few non-Gorton games on scenario.
Yeah, that might just be it. It's because now I'm playing Kruger 2 again, yeah. And people are just like, don't contest the zone. I'm like, boosh feet.
Yeah.
Extend hand.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Kruger 2 is innately unfair in scenario play, so.
It depends on the scenario. Destruction is...
All I know is when
very
I play against
dumb for him.
Kruger 2, like, I have to spend significant brain power trying to prevent myself from auto losing.
Yeah.
Without giving him my whole
army. I mean, that's
army.
Actually, like it's like Keith is saying, that's my actual mentality in this 2014, is don't lose on scenario. Like, it used to be that I actively looked to win on scenario, and in 2014, I'm just like, don't lose. Just don't lose on scenario.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat until my opponent's just...
Yeah, I mean...
Don't. Are doing it's, that it's, plan too much.
Yeah, it's with Gorton. If you're playing Gorton or Kruger 2 or somebody like that, it's a different situation. Or probably even Denny to some extent.
I haven't been seeing wins with her. Like, I've been playing Denny 2 quite a bit. And the scenario wins aren't the same as what they used to be. Because in order for her to win on scenario, a lot of the time she has to risk her own life to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just... Because, like, the three-turn win isn't something that Denny 2 can really process. She's like, I don't have...
Right, no,
really,
absolutely.
I can't really make three turns.
I have to do it in two or nothing.
It's like, it's got to be two, or we're just going to switch plans.
I mean, that's what... Maybe I guess all my scenario ones have been in Destruction. I played that scenario a lot this year.
So. That's the one that's still easy to win.
Destruction, I've been winning a lot with Denny 1.
Yeah, yeah, because that was Mayhem Cup, and then I played a local game, and I... don't remember where
I've been scoring more points with that Chrysalis than any other list I've ever played.
I think trolls are uniquely suited to this. I think they're probably the best faction for SR 2014 scenario.
Yeah, it's about time.
I legitimately believe that. Because the vast majority of this scenario or the scenarios in this packet are geared towards get to the zone and stay there longer. And that's actually just what trolls do.
Well, I mean, if they can get there. If they don't get jammed out of it. Yeah, but that's why the Gracilis is so good, is because Dash gives you the speed you need to get there and, like, being able to, like, walk out of
free
strikes.
Strike
I would posture that the bigger factor is even that last year so many of, like, the slow and steady scenario wins were just because you'd eventually start dominating your own objective with a caster. That would go on too long. And that's still an option.
That scenario still exists.
They've just moved the objectives far enough forward that that's too dangerous for most casters.
Thank God. That was the most annoying way to lose.
Yes, but not for Trollcast. Trollcasters can still do that.
There's that one scenario still exists where there's the thing on your side and the thing on, you know, each player has their own friendly
close,
on like the
close
left
quarters.
Side. No, the one where like Brian White was able to abuse it by putting like Vengers on the end of the zone and martyring them with Harby.
That scenario
still exists.
I don't remember
where it's just like dominate friendly zone, get a point. So you're like, well, I'm going second.
Yeah, there's still the dominate your friendly zone and get a point. Like that, there's a couple different scenarios that are like that.
You guys are getting me all pumped up to play scenarios, and now when I lose, I'm going to have no excuse like I did last year.
I think
scenario knows.
My number one advice for you, Chad, would be to get in there and like not be afraid to lose some models.
Get in there.
You got to get in there. You got to hop it into submission.
I do feel like you're a little bit too conservative for scenario play at times.
Oh, I am. Yeah. That's the way my problem Runes of War was.
Like, get in there and take those punches to the face, because your list actually can take it.
God, I said that I was never going to play Runes of War again, and it just, every time I tell someone, like, it makes me rink thinking, because they're like, what, really? Why?
They're like, really? You stupid.
Yeah.
Why are you so stupid not playing Runes of War? I'm just like, I'm unique. I'm a unique butterfly.
Yeah.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. That should be your response. When you're like, I'm not playing Runes of War anymore.
Speaking of lists that Chad is going to play.
Nice segue. Thanks, Keith. I made this list because I have been... because there's a lot of Kalandra angst going on. Kalandra angst.
I love Kalandra.
So, I don't know what it is, but it's been going around on the Trollblood forums. It's been going around on the Trollblood Facebook page. Everyone's just like, whoa, why does Kalandra suck so bad?
Are people dissing my girl?
The teenage Kalandra.
And I was like, it just blows my mind because I'm like, at one point in time, I'm pretty sure she was considered to be like our second best warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, why does she suck so bad?
Well,
so anyway, I made a list.
She actually doesn't suck at all.
So I made a list.
Look, I know sucking.
Listen to our...
Dick jokes, hey, everybody.
Bazing!
Listen to our pre-ramble to understand. I'm not sure we were recording that, actually.
I don't know if that was recording.
Maybe just ask us about it sometime.
It was mostly just noises like this.
Chad?
Where am I doing?
Calandra!
So, I made a Calandra list that's sort of in, it's sort of in an old school style, but I liked this list a lot as I was thinking about it, because it feels sneaky in a really stupid way that I like. So this is actually a Calandra assassination list.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal of this list is to assassinate their caster by knocking them down and then dropping 4 bombs on their head with your feet.
That's not very sneaky. It's literally printed right here as like the first 3 models of your army.
Well, here's how it's sneaky.
It's like crumb style sneaky.
Because here's the list. So the list is called Calandra. The list is Calandra, Rune Bearer, Double Bomber, Double Impaler, Creel Stone with UA, Bone Grinders, and 2 units of Warders.
So Min Bone Grinders, by the way.
Yeah, Min Bone Grinders and 2 units of Warders.
Before you talk about the list, I have a serious question.
Okay.
Last list you dojoed that didn't have 2 units of Warders. Go.
Runes of War.
Grim Angus, or Hunter's Grim.
Okay.
Yep, that's legit.
That's legit.
So, anyway.
You had to think really
hard,
though.
It's literally, I mean, both he and Eric are just in fact, if I play against trolls, I face so much warder. It makes me so sad.
They're so good.
It makes me so sad.
That's
why I want to be like, if anybody else submits any merc lists to the, like, the whatever thread, what do we call it? The list busters thread. They better be able to deal with 2 units of warders.
I just love
if anyone submits troll lists, please put as many warders as you possibly can.
I just
4 units of warders.
I remember
I gotta play it, Josh.
Right. You have to, I guess.
Dear God, they can never make
a
theme force that has more UA or.
Here's my thought process behind this. Here's my thought process behind how this list is going to play out. Because the warders are so hard to kill normally, and then you put Starcrossed on top of that, and suddenly they become a significant attrition threat. You know, half of the attacks coming into them are going to miss. They're going to go back and kill, whatever models they can with their Mat 7, Pow 10, or 12 Weapon Master attacks. You know, they're just... And then the entire time, you're going to have 2 bombers peppering the battlefield with blast damage and boosting things on hard targets or whatever. And you're going to have the Impalers actually probably doing work as well, because with Soothing Song, you can get a surprising number of forces out of your War Beast and still...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to seem like you're getting attritioned with this list. And I feel like people are probably going to respond by bringing their Warcaster into the fold and trying to get work done that way. And they're not going to... Maybe, I mean, obviously smart players and people that have listened to this segment will.
But like, they move their caster up and they're like, okay, it's your turn. Wait, have you popped your feet yet? And you're like, no.
Yeah, because with Bone Grinders and a charge, she has a 20-inch threat on Force Blow.
Yep.
To knock their caster down. And it's super reliable with the feet, because you get to reroll ones and twos, and then you can also spend her Fury to just reroll it straight Morvana.
I wasn't sure if she could reroll her own, but yeah.
Yep.
And then once their caster is knocked down on the ground, the bombers with 2 bombers with the feet against a knockdown caster, I think that kills almost every caster in the game.
They have 4 transfers.
Unless they have, yeah. And then you've got the stone for random stealth casters or
incorporeal
whatever. So, yeah, that's the general idea.
I actually think the list is pretty good in attrition anyway.
Yeah, and then that's the thing is too. Like, even if you're not going to get even if they never give you the assassination, like, you can just fall back on attrition. Like, it's actually just a good attrition list.
Yeah.
So here's what I always say about Calandra. She does not look powerful, but she manipulates so many things subtly that the sum of her parts is much greater than, you know. She just is. Like, the rerolls, her rerolls cost more than Morvana's rerolls, but they're just still really powerful. Like, you miss that, you know, 5 to hit with your bomber when you're trying to blow up a heavy, you just reroll it.
Especially, I mean, when it's your last bomb and the heavy has 4 hit points left.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'll definitely spend a fury to reroll that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, StarCraft is one of those is one of the most infuriating things ever. I hate StarCraft with the passion of a thousand burning suns because it tilts me every time. Because every time I look at my dice, I think I hit, and then Chad's like, "No, actually, you missed. You take the six out.
Underpowered sign is important. Still OP.
What's
it's just reverse.
I know. Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, it's actually." StarCraft is actually kind of perfectly suited for the Trollblood army because it'd be super, super broken on anything that was higher, like significantly higher defense.
Epic Ashland.
Let's spell draft that, yo.
And then...
it was pretty gross in Who's the Boss on Satixis Raiders.
Yeah, and then Def 12 is low enough that, you know, most of the time things are going to be coming in at you with Mat 6 or Mat 5. And that's... When you're looking for 6s or 5s, like... You almost even when you're thinking about StarCraft, you're factoring StarCraft in. You're still like, it's not quite mathematically efficient to boost this. Like, you know, you're like super on the fence about it, and so you might not boost a couple of times because you, and then it just causes you to miss. Like, that's the sweet spot for where it causes you to miss is when you're going in Mat 6 versus Def 12 under StarCraft.
Like, here's my advice: boost just to save your sanity, so you don't tilt.
Well, and then you're like, yes, 6-4. Or like 6-3-1-1. You're like, yeah, got there. And then you're like, wait, son of a...
Yeah.
Reverse signs of importance? Why?
I hate playing against Calandra because it just tilts me because you have so many highs and lows. Like, you're like, haha, you missed. And you're like, reroll that? All right. And like on the feet turn, it's the worst because you're just like, oh, a low damage roll.
Snake eyes.
You're just like, oh, a low damage roll. Well, no, I haven't rerolled these ones yet.
You're actually, like, oh god. Whenever I play against a Calandra player, I always have to hold myself back a little bit because there's the times where they roll like some really like they boosted like I don't know a bomber shot on my like Warble Saga or something, and they're just like 6-1-2, and then I'm just like, uh oh. They're like, reroll the 1 and a 2, back into a 2 and a 2, and I'm like, justice. Like when that happens, I want to say that so loud.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times where you roll a 6-2-2, and you're like, oh, clearly I can do better than that. And you reroll into a 1 and a 1. And
you're, yeah.
Downgrade.
What?
Also,
it's inconceivable.
Like, she's got some random things that you just don't think about all the time because she doesn't use them all the time. Like, Befuddle can randomly just completely hose you.
Yeah, it's really hard to escape. It's like, that's why I think I like this for assassination. It's really hard to escape the assassination because it's hard to get out of her line of sight and get out of her. I mean, 20 inches is farther than a lot of people will think, especially for her because she's so kind of slow.
Yeah. And then she, like, befuddles the thing blocking line of sight, walks it out of the way.
Yeah.
And just, like, owns you, then force blows you on the feet, and then you're just like, uh-oh. And the bombers are like, guess we'll go in.
I feel like the weakest part of this list, in my opinion, is actually just Calandra.
Yeah.
Like, no Janissa in this list actually makes me kind of... That's the question you should have asked, by the way, is when the last time did you dojo a list with Janissa? Because it's been a long time.
With Janissa?
Yeah, I haven't used her in a long time. Yeah. Like, this is basically 2012 like, for me.
Rins of War or bust.
I basically have been doing 2012. Like,
see? You should have just listened to us before. Yeah.
Before the Warders came out.
Yeah.
Keith, that's not relevant to the discussion.
I feel like it's a little relevant.
Maybe.
Really overrated. Most overrated troll solo.
No, she's not.
Interesting.
Sure, I agree with that. I don't think
so.
So
this
Josh,
list,
clearly the most overrated Muse podcaster.
That's possible.
It's definitely going to be on the slow side. That's the only problem I'm spotting is if the Warders can't get there.
No, that's valid.
It does have this list actually could be jammed out of scenario, potentially. You have a lot of like you can kill a lot of stuff, but
it depends. A lot of the stuff that's fast enough to like Satixis Raiders are sort of a special problem, but a lot of the stuff that's fast enough to jam you out before you can get there is because 2 turns of running will get you there.
Yeah.
So it's really only the stuff that can get and jam you on turn one.
Most of that stuff's pretty susceptible to 2 bombers.
And most of that stuff's pretty susceptible to 2 bombers.
Non-Satixis.
So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Satixis Raiders are kind of a special problem, but...
Yeah. I mean, they are for anyone but Signar.
And I probably wouldn't drop this list against Crix anyway. Mm-hmm. Just because it's weak to everything Crix does.
StarCraft seems pretty good against Crix.
Yeah, but the list is 2 heavies and 2 medium-based units of...
Yeah, if you take out, like, some of the stuff and put in...
Nisshunters.
Then StarCraft's really good against Crix.
And Burrowers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's good against Cricks, period.
Yep.
But yeah.
It is good against Cricks, period, but it's not good enough if you don't stack some defense. It's the same thing. It's the same thing you talk about with Ashlyn, right?
Oh, in terms of how I don't run low defense models with it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So?
I didn't think you were ever listening to any words I ever said.
Josh, I listen to everything you say. Yeah. I just don't agree with everything you say.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I'm not listening.
Yeah.
I don't agree with anybody all the time because I'm kind of a dick. Sorry, Lance.
I've been wanting to ask you for a while.
You don't have to edit out dick.
What is,
you can also say ass.
What's that white stain on your shirt?
It's cream cheese.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's hot.
Cream freeze.
Literally from a jalapeno popper.
No, it's basically he was sticking a thing into his mouth earlier and a little squirt came out.
And it squirted out. It looks like it just dribbled right down onto his belly.
It can't really miss.
All righty. Anyway. So, John, you had a second testament list.
I don't like this one as much.
Wait, John. Before you talk about this testament list, I have a question to ask you.
Is this a pirate joke?
Yes. Also, if you're listening and you have children in the car, fast forward a minute ahead because this is wildly inappropriate.
I hope Lance cuts the entire thing out.
Yeah, me too. Lance.
John.
Cut everything inappropriate out of this podcast.
In what way is a pirate ship like a prostitute?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is this a Nigel pirate joke?
No, this is from, Blue Baron.
Really, Chris? In what way, Josh?
They both Jolly Rogers and are full of semen. Yarr!
I don't even understand that joke.
Success. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, we'll make a diagram.
Well, it's because, it's because he only watches gay porn.
That's actually not true. Yeah,
that's what you said.
No, he watched it. He prefers it.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, look. That's right. For the record.
That's right.
I thought gay porn was girl on girl, and I screwed it up. I'm sorry.
Like I said, John, Google gay porn and see what happens.
Yeah, I haven't done it. Lance, you have to cut this out, but I clearly had not done that. It was an honest mistake. Why are you persecuting me?
Because
he probably needs to cut it out, but I really don't want him to.
No, he doesn't need to cut it out. I told people to skip ahead a minute, and that's about now.
Yeah, we're
fine. That was 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Like, it's fine.
It's fine. You guys, it's fine.
Okay, John, tell us this dojo.
Oh, God.
This was another list that has, I think, actually, strangely, has about the same number of souls. But I built another list. It's Testament, Devout, 2 full units of Bastions, 2 full units of Temple Flame Guard, full Avengers, Ayana and Holt, Saxon Oryk, Gorman, and the Seneschal. And it's again, it's a pretty good attrition list. It's a lot of weapon masters. It's a lot of
A lot of TFG.
TFG are excellent souls. Like
yeah. I actually really like this list. Bastions with the Bastion Seneschal and Revive.
Yeah, seems pretty good.
I'm guessing that's all you're going for, right?
Yep.
Then you turn the TFG basically back into Bastions.
Yep.
And then they get healed.
Yep.
That seems kind of a pain
TFG
in the ass.
Back into Bastions.
they die, become souls.
He's just this machine.
Oh, then you use that to revive.
Every three.
It's just a giant meat grinder where Temple Flame Guard go in, and then he sculpts putty Bastions.
I gotcha.
Like Rita Repulsa. Yeah.
You're also bringing back Avengers.
I hate that I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, TFG are actually excellent with Ashen Veil because they apply it pretty liberally.
17 against charges.
They have set defense, right?
Yep. Yeah. They sure do. And then, you know, you just get to revive Bastions in cool places and charge stuff that they love.
I almost want a second Bastion Seneschal so you can just abuse the revive Bastions, heal them for points.
You can only, they only triggers once.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They fixed that?
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, rats.
Otherwise, there would definitely be 2 Bastion Seneschals.
Yeah. I feel like you would probably never ever see 1 Bastion Seneschal at all if that was the case. Yeah.
Oh, dang it.
They would turn into pay 6 points to get a 2-man unit.
Yeah.
Yep. Like I said, I don't like this list as much. But I built it before I built the other one. I'm not sure how they got.
I think I like this list better.
What's
really?
That?
I think I do.
A lot slower.
Well,
yeah, but it's
you should contest you should get John to commit to play it a certain number of times.
John,
in the next
play,
2 months.
If you play this 3 times in the next 2 months, I will...
It's got to be something you can follow through with.
I'll declare Keith a ducker.
You'll declare Keith the ducker?
Mm. Officially?
Officially?
No.
Almost had it.
In
so close.
In the private sanctity of this room without the mics on.
That does me absolutely no good at all.
The other day you begged me to agree. You were like, no one has to know. It'll be quiet. Just say Keith. You listen to it. Just say Keith was the ducker. And I
he
said,
was the ducker. If you listen to it, that's exactly what happened.
At any rate. And I said, no, John, you were clearly the ducker. But
you wanted that just to get
but
my
you
head.
Wanted it. Badly, and I'm offering you that the exact thing that you
time,
wanted at that time. If
was,
you played
I
three
was
games,
vulnerable and I was in a really bad spot, and you couldn't even help a brother out. You
That's
couldn't
right.
help a friend out.
That's
you're,
right.
like, you're like, John, I can certainly see clearly yeah. that you're drowning. Yeah. Here's a life preserver that I'm going to show you, and then just toss it onto the beach.
That's because I knew that this later situation would exist in which I could help you more by getting you to play this game that you spend hours talking about every week.
It was leverage, basically.
How yes. many games do I have to play
Love that show.
In the month of April to move the Ducker title from me to Keith officially? What's the number?
It can't happen because we have a commit. We committed to not lying blatantly.
Let's say 12. Four?
12 games. If I play 12 games, you're on board?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of games for me.
No, that's
difficult.
A lot of games in a month,
In
period.
The month of April, 12. I think 12.
It's 3 a week. I mean, that's not hashtag 10 games a week, but...
Yeah, whatever.
So, I mean, I can't.
So, you're on board, you're
well,
on record.
One of those weeks is Adepticon, so that's going to be...
Do you agree? We will not count games at Adepticon.
Whoa.
Holy
We will not count
shit.
Games.
I don't
that's
know.
That's like a week already off the... So, you're going to get 12 games in
I
basically
think, John, I think that's a bad call. Like, as,
no.
your manager...
No, here's the deal.
I had actually forgotten about Adepticon.
But I mean, no. that's only
and I will game. Only accept this if it doesn't include it.
Right.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But listen, that's only like listen four, very carefully. I have like literally nothing total. To lose because I'm already labeled the ducker,
uh-huh.
right? So, Crump, do you agree to these terms? If I play 12 games, not counting Adepticon games, in the month of April 2014, you will agree that Keith is the ducker.
Keep your integrity.
I don't know. What am I going to get out of this? Can I get, like,
a duck whistle?
Can I get a template set?
Yep.
Boosh! Done.
We're already getting one of those.
Oh, dang it!
You told Crump to keep his integrity, and I feel like for Crump, he did.
Chad, so you're on this program
Nailed
too?
It.
You're on this program too?
What? I'm already getting a template set.
No, I mean, it's not about... It's
not about
the
template.
You want to see me play 12 games in April, right?
I do, actually.
Okay, then. Yeah. So you're on it? Keith yeah. will be the ducker? Because he actually is.
Nigel
like,
knows
you,
the truth.
You know the truth. And Nigel also knows the truth. You guys just more fun to make fun of me. So
I feel like
that's the truth.
I feel like there's yeah.
I feel like
there's three people
the truth,
in this room dude. That know the truth.
Yeah.
To be fair, I do not know.
We all know the truth.
Exactly.
But I'm willing to lie.
No,
on
that's not the truth. God.
If you play 12 games, I will happily officially lie.
All right. We've
game.
Run this into the ground. So yes. we can go.
That's
on.
Fair. For John's own good, I will magnanimously
yeah,
lay
that's,
down
that's
under
what
the
I'm
bus
saying.
If
yeah.
he if he betters himself.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. 12 games.
This is dumb.
Wait, 12 games. Let's move on.
I really do hate you guys.
What?
Oh, man.
Johnny, go like something on your shirt.
It is cream cheese. I swear to God, we had homemade jalapeno yeah. poppers. Yeah, Chad homemade. Watched it happen.
You had homemade poppers of some sort. That's for sure.
Literally, as soon as I saw it happen, I was like, "This is going to be gold later." I just kept that to myself.
Yep.
So I was thinking about Calandra.
Calandra.
After we were talking
Calandra.
About it. And
shut up! I was proud of that.
That sounds like a great like.
It's a B-80s movie for sure. Yeah. It's a B-80s
Go ahead,
movie.
Keith.
So I had played a sort of a Minion-centric list with her earlier, and I liked the Gatorman posse in it, but I didn't love them because they were sort of the hard target that got focused on, and eventually they died out. So I was thinking, looking at Chad's list, I'm like, what do I have to cut? To get 2 units of Gators in there.
Oh, God. Are you going to have 2 units of Warriors and 2 units of Gators?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, get the hell. No, do not talk about this list. Stop.
So the bomber and a...
No, I'm out.
La, 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 la.
So you cut one bomber.
Mission music, go.
You cut a bomber and an impaler, and that gives you 15 of the requisite 18 points. You cut the bone grinders, and you're just 1 point short. And then I feel like there are a couple different ways to go from there. You can keep the core of the list small enough that I think you might get away with a minimum creel stone.
Yeah, because it won't affect the gators, so right. They can...
So you can range at, you can do like your two sets of warders sort of central and have gators ranging out on either side and keep a smaller unit of creel stone. So that's the way I'd probably try it first. And if I found that the creel stone became too vulnerable, then you can talk about remodifying the battle group to like blitzer, impaler.
I hate this list. Don't play it.
Or something of that kind. Or even possibly, but probably not consider dropping the rune bearer. And then that also gives you swamp gobbers. For some additional safety, to allow Calandra to spend more of her focus or more of her fury while still hopefully being safe. So those are some of the options for cutting that last point to get both maximum units of Gatorman Posse in there.
I like it.
Miserable Meatlandra.
And gators, when they're dirging, are a pain in the butt.
With Starcross,
they're amazing. They're amazing when they're dirged in Starcross. That plus one defense doesn't seem like it'd be that big a deal, but it's so huge.
It is with Starcross.
Yeah.
It is anyway. 12 to 13 is like...
Yep.
It's a big bump.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Definitely.
But yeah.
So that would be the, like, you're not pretending that you're going to assassinate. You're not trying to get him around the edge with the assassination anymore. You're just like, yes, this is an attrition list.
Well,
best of luck to you.
And the Gators solve the only problem with that list, and that's the speed. So they're going to be there. I like it. Don't play it.
So I'm gonna F for one up in my list.
They
do different things.
Different. It's a different list.
Yeah.
This is like a miserable.
I like that list a lot.
It's a Calandra miserable meat mountain. I don't know if that's as miserable as a Gristle miserable.
No, it's
not. It is not as miserable. It is less well.
It's more missable.
It's not as miserable, but probably more tilting because I actually legitimately hate Starcrossed. What it
that
does
one is more likely to Gator done. If we're going to attach catchphrases to lists,
Crump, are you doing anything on Sunday nights?
Yep.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good man.
Whoa. I got some dojo.
Okay, go ahead.
Because Dylan Strachow, that is not how I pronounce his last, or not how his last name is pronounced, but it should be. And that's
Strachow.
That's how it's pronounced. Yeah, like, kapow! Kung Fu moves. It's totally how that name should be pronounced.
What kind of list is this?
Approach me for some scorn.
Turning off the mic, going upstairs.
I thought it was, no! What? No! Nope. What? You guys are the worst.
Bathroom time.
That means Colin's going to jump in.
He's playing his DS.
Okay, good.
Proceed.
And he wanted to work on Mordekaiser. And Mordekaiser is one of my favorite scorn casters, just because, like, Fluff is the most BA scorn caster.
Right. B-O?
No, B-A.
Body odor?
No, A.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
Too weird mofo to die.
This is yeah. So, obviously, anytime like someone reaches for Mordekaiser, it's for a Krix matchup. And usually, like, the standard like go-to is you take Annihilators to be your holo target, giving your undead... Sorry, giving your tough unit undead and tough, and you get their souls. And I started thinking about it, and this actually comes back from Tony's article that he wrote on Muse a long time ago about like making full use of all of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if you're taking a tough unit and then giving them a buff that gives them tough and undead, you're only making use of like
the undead part,
2/3 of the spell, because the soul gain, the undead, and then whoop-dee-dee, tough. So I wanted to...
Yeah, so assuming if you start... So the premise of that argument is you basically assume that every rule and ability on every model in your army is in a correctly balanced game, has a value assigned to it, mm-hmm. and that your best chance of winning is to maximize the value you get out of every piece.
Not only that, but every rule and ability also has an associated cost, or even an opportunity cost, in that it's on your card, so you don't get to use a different rule or ability. So
what I mean, I started looking through the Scorn units, and one of them stuck out to me, which was Swordsman, which is a unit that, like, sees no play, essentially, in the competitive environment. I started thinking about it. They actually seem... So they're already... They're better than Nihilators in terms of putting a hollow on them, because there are more souls to be generated because they're a larger unit. And then now we have a unit where we're actually gaining a tough bonus that we didn't have before with Nihilators. And so, like, that was why I originally reached for them. But then I started thinking about having... In a anti-Krix matchup, just both as options. So having Swordsman as your Hollow Target or unit, and then having like Nihilators as the Banishing Ward thing. So now they're like, you know, if we're going against Epic Lich, there's not really many Excarnate targets.
Just the Paingivers or stuff on the way back.
Yeah, and there are Reavers in the list. So if you're planning to like have it be against Lich 2, potentially putting in like a Witch Doc Croc, because now your entire army is like tough,
undead,
and
or
be excarnated.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the exact list should be, and I haven't been able to flush it out yet, but it is currently... There is a large window of points still available, but Mordekaiser, a Despoiler, Swordsman with the UA, Reavers with the UA, Min Beast Handlers, Nihilators, and then the Tyrant Commander and Standard Bearer.
Do Swordsmen have Combo Strike?
They... Do yes. Yes.
So they get to power 12 on the combo strike?
Yes, they do get up to power 12. But no,
probably the people that actually play this faction as opposed to all
no,
of
they
us
probably
who
don't.
Just rip on it.
No, they don't. No one owns Swordsman. Yeah. But like no one owns Swordsman. So I was trying to convince Dylan to try Swordsman, and his initial response was just like, well, why wouldn't I play Nihilators? And then I made the argument of like you're losing this tough ability on your spell. And Swordsman actually, the more I thought about it, against like a Krix matchup, are kind of a stupid revive target.
Is it Makeda that gives them vengeance or sidestep?
She gives them
vengeance.
So they have sidestep.
Yeah. Nice. So they will kill. Like,
aren't they
kill
mat six?
Just fine,
right?
Mat six.
They're mat six, which you can revive in the back arc.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Nihilators
and
mat
six
mat
is
seven.
Yeah.
Mat six pound or mat six pound nine two attacks.
Mat six is good enough against Banes. In my opinion,
POW 9's not great against Banes, though.
They do have a once per game auto point.
Yeah, they do.
Whenever they attack. Mm-hmm. So
is
they will
that
kill.
Only Warjacks and Warbeasts?
No.
Nope.
No.
It
is
everything.
Everything.
And it's not. It's
the UA.
It's not anatomical either.
The UA has an ability that whenever he deals damage to a Warjack, you can just deal a point instead. But their once per game ability allows all of them to auto point whatever model.
Yep. That's correct.
I remember that from back when, before Nihilators came out, everybody played Swordsman in Epic Makeda.
Yeah.
We were always Swordsman.
I actually have seen Swordsman a decent amount from some of our local guys. So.
But POW 9s will kill all the Krix infantry reliably, except for like,
Banes.
And even Bane Thralls, right? They're sixes to hit and then sevens to kill.
Yeah.
So like on a charge, on a charge, they're fine.
Yeah, on a charge, it's fine.
They also have two attacks, so that helps. Mm-hmm. That helps balance out the numbers a little bit.
So that was actually why I was so turned on to them as like a revive unit, right? Because each guy you revive is like in a back arc will like pretty much almost guarantee kill like two infantry models, and two. And the counter argument is right. Nihilators, you can put them. What?
Mat 8, POW 9 will kill most infantry.
It doesn't pretty much guaranteeably kill two. It pretty much guaranteeably kills one with a reasonable chance to kill two, not even a great chance.
Mat 8, POW 9 will probably kill the average.
Okay, so like Satixis Raiders, you need sixes to hit.
Yeah.
You have to hit both.
Yeah.
What sixes are the odds of that?
Sixes and threes. Like, over the course... It's not a guarantee. You're right. Like, I mean, that's why we both rolled our eyes, because it's not guaranteed. But it's a reasonable chance to kill two models.
In the 40% range.
Yeah.
It's not not really. I think you're more likely to kill two models with Annihilator than you are with with
reviving Annihilator in the Bat-Rig.
Because
the difference is, sure.
And you might get three, and you never can get three with a
swordsman. Yeah,
I'm having trouble getting past the Mat 6 versus Mat 7. That's the only part of your argument.
It's Mat 6 2 initials compared to Mat 7 1 initial
with Berserk.
I mean, the thing is, he has Annihilators in the list too.
They
so
are
he
both.
Can just...
This is the counter argument is they are both in there, so you can do whichever is best.
Yeah, you can just do Annihilators too, and then if they're in a position where it's better to do a swordsman, he can just do a swordsman.
Right. The only other advantage is with the UA, you have a bigger command bubble for maybe
a
potentially
much
better.
Bigger command bubble.
Potentially
like
much better.
9, 10. Jesus. 10.
Yeah, you have a much better revive range.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I wanted to make note is that you made it sound like they always had sidestep. It's a granted off the officer. So if the officer dies.
Tactics. Oh. Right.
If the officer dies, then they lose it, and you can't revive the officer.
I thought
it
was tactics.
No.
Nope.
You cannot.
So you got to protect that guy.
I don't know if that will be too difficult to do, but...
As long as there's no excarnates happening.
Which there...
Or probably, he's not walking too close to bile thralls.
Probably.
No,
he's just
rates.
Like, hey, what's this cute little... I don't know. I kept thinking, right, like...
What's all in the battle group?
It's just... Currently, it's just a spoiler, and there are, whatever, like 13 points left in the list.
Okay, so Gladiator... Kriya?
I actually think... If you're going for the Crix matchup, you want less beasts.
Why are we playing the Despoiler?
He's actually really good in the Crix matchup.
He is. Void Spirits in the Crix matchup are actually mind-blowing.
Yeah,
really good.
Free Void Spirits are awesome.
Okay.
There's hardly enough magic weapons in their army to kill them, other than their caster. Pistol Race, which don't always get taken, right? Warwitch Sirens, which they will probably be far enough away from to, like, be
Witches.
Safe.
Witches!
No,
and then...
The Warwitch Sirens will 100% kill the Void Spirits.
and then there's always, like, Blood Witches.
Yeah, the
forever
thing,
and ever.
The thing that will most likely be up there is Blood Witches, which is hilarious because they're abominations.
Yes, and the Blood Witches can get scared by them.
Yeah.
That's where the problem or the power of that free Void Spirits is just command checks over time really hard on the girls.
Also, I mean, they can be difficult to remove because when they kill something, it turns into this, like, 3-inch AoE cloud, which, like, if a model walks in, takes, like, a POW 14 fire damage roll or something. So, like... There aren't very... Right, the units that have reach are, like, Satixus and Bane Knights. And depending on the, like, list and how the game has progressed thus far, there might not be very many Satixus Raiders left.
Sure.
Like, the Despoiler very well may have just punched and killed the Satixus Raider and turned it into a Void Spirit. So now, like, it can just free run, like, kill this, turn it into a 4-inch cloud. And then they're like, oh, I can't... Like, my Blood Witches can't get to it and kill it. And, like, my Banes can't either. They'll just die. So...
Plus, doesn't Mordekaiser do something for Void Spirits?
Yeah, it boosts their attack rolls, so they're like Mat 7, 3 dice.
That's legit, actually.
That's really legit.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly their damage, but I know it's only against living.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's not damage, it's just attack rolls.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, Colin, you're dumb. While on this model's controller, your friendly Void Spirit models gain boosted melee attack rolls.
I must be thinking Mark.
I don't know
the Despoiler only.
That was really.
Yeah.
Keith's the one who said it.
Peanut Gallery.
You're a jerk, Crump.
I know.
What?
The Despoiler only triggers off of living. The Despoiler punching. Pretty sure.
I wonder if that was different in Mark 1, because for some reason I was.
In Mark 1, he boosted all undead attack rolls, which was legit.
You know.
Oh, my God. If he still did that, he'd just be like, and Wichita Craw.
Yeah. Well, he still had Hollow or a spell like it or whatever, so he'd just be like, this unit is ridiculous.
I think there's some other pretty interesting revive targets in Scorn besides Annihilators and Swordsmen.
Two units of Screening Beast Handlers.
No.
No, I thought that's for sure where he was going to go with that.
Yeah. the list I originally built with Mordekaiser, like, when Despoiler got spoiled, I built a list, and then it had a Citrati with Vorkesh on them, or whatever his name is. However, in a Crix matchup, medium-based infantry.
They're actually pretty good, because they can't be debuffed in the Crix
not
match.
The worst medium-based infantry to take in the Crix, but they're also not.
I mean, I thought
they can be dead
in the matchup. Swordsman might be better.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Swordsman thing is... I'm not saying it's automatically better... But, like, I thought it was interesting having options for, like, Swordsmen as a Hollow unit, and then still having Annihilators in the list, so, like, you can just... You can literally revive whatever is best.
You know what I was just thinking about? As long as we're... I'm going to tangent for a minute. The medium-based guys that have the drag spears.
Acuari or whatever they're called.
Seems like reviving those could create some really dangerous situations for casters and...
Potentially, except... I mean, I guess there's a reaver...
Because you could revive one to aim and then move the others up for a CRA.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty janky, but...
Well, I mean, you can also do other things with them. I don't know.
Just like range 6 or range
It's range 8, but they have snipe, so it'd be range 12.
It's pretty
predictable.
Goodness.
Becky.
Yep.
Another thing that
Look at that.
Like, I don't know what the last... I don't know what the last, like, 13
Dear
points
God.
Should be. I kind of do want to put a Witch Doc Croc in the list, because then the entire army is, like, tough. And then... Which can get kind of gross, because then there's, like, a tired commander that can, like, reverie them, which... When your entire army is tough, like, having that as a...
Yeah, actually, I like that a lot.
Kind of gross.
Yeah.
But...
Reverie's friendly faction, right? But you're... Oh, yeah, never mind. Never mind. I'm dumb. Derp.
You are correct. You are correct.
But yeah, I don't... The only thing is, like, yes. I like all of the units that are in this list, like, as an anti-Krix list. I just don't know what the battle group should be. And I...
Four Drakes. Done. Boom. Peace
Drakes,
out.
Drakes.
I actually love Drakes in the Krix matchup.
Yeah.
They're good.
How about three Drakes?
You can't completely give up on something that hits hard.
No, that's true.
The spoiler hits hard with Murkar.
He hits...
He hits hard enough for Krix.
18.
He hits hard enough for Krix.
Is he POW 18 or is
he
POW
14
and then
Dark Shroud?
Dark Shroud and Rage.
I mean, one thing I actually like a lot with Mordekaiser, and when I originally dojoed Mordekaiser, when
the Karn.
No, not that.
But Karn.
But yes, Karn is good. However, he's
probably
in
a different
list. This was learned from, like, Getorix being an unkillable jerk face. Tiberian on Mordekaiser's feat turn is, like, nigh unkillable.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
Def 14, Arm 21, can't be placed, can't be knocked down. Also has Poltergeist.
Yeah.
I hate Tiberian a lot.
Yeah,
imagine when he's Def 14 and the thing you're going to kill him is...
Every time I go to kill him, he's unkillable. It doesn't matter.
Oh, wait, Mordekaiser doesn't have Awakened Spirit. Yeah. I like Karn more with Zal.
And then you put Bump on him, so then if they hit him, they get pushed back, and if they miss him, they get pushed back.
Like, you just get pushed back like... Yeah, son!
This is like, what game you want to play, homie?
I guess the game where Tiberian wrecks my face. That's the game we're going to play.
I mean, that might be an okay battle group, just Tibbers and Despoiler.
I kind of like that.
There's 2 points left, though, so...
Yeah,
I kind of like that. I just don't... Like, Tibbers without a Gladiator is going to be...
A little slow.
Yeah, but the list feels, like, really sort of, like, grindy.
Yeah.
So I think that might be okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, you know, there's just, like, these waves of infantry. My infantry killing your infantry, and I'm...
Well, you don't have to worry about Pathfinder because he has Ghostly, too, so... It's just slow.
Or Ghostwalk, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Ghostwalk.
It is slow, but I'm imagining, like, a turn where you're just, like, Mordekaiser's feat turn. Tiberian runs 8 inches directly towards whatever he wants to murder next turn.
They back up 2 inches.
And then you're like...
And you're like, crap. Almost got him.
Yeah, but then maybe...
Never back down, Chad.
Then maybe they back out of the zone, though. Like,
That's fair. That's fair enough.
I don't know.
I don't hate it, Grump.
Something there. I just want to see Swordsman played, and they seemed potentially really at home with Mordekaiser.
Yeah. But it's different from... It's pretty different from the other Mordekaiser lists I've seen, so... And it still sounds like I like the theory.
Yeah. You should play at least 3 times.
I don't know how to build
Scorn.
Yeah,
in the month
groups.
Of April.
All right, Colin, can I borrow your Scorn?
I will no longer label you the Ducker if you do that.
So that's our dojo section.
The longest dojo.
Let's see.
We haven't dojoed in a long time. I missed it.
We talked about
SR 2014. Oh, we could talk about Spell Draft. Let's talk about that.
All right, I'll bring up everybody's lists.
So
I didn't get to do it, but I wanted to.
Ducked it.
Nick ended up getting.
He did in fact duck this spell draft.
Crump got the spell, just a single copy of each spell on the back of Magic cards. Yeah,
every single spell that we talked about this on Miami, but it's every single spell in the game that's on a caster's card written one time over.
on the back of a magic card with no description as to what the spell does. So you just need to know.
Yeah, so I constantly had to ask Chad. I was like, what does this spell do? Because right. Chad actually knows what every spell in the game.
I was surprising myself. I don't mean, there was like two that I didn't know.
Yeah, I got almost all of them.
The worst
yeah.
one was like when we were doing it at Ames, they were just like, they're like, Crump, what's Agitator? I'm like, and they're like, I'm pretty sure it's not a spell. I'm like, it's 100% a spell because I went through every card in the game and wrote them all down. So it's a spell somewhere.
I mean, Josh asked me like 10 different things, and I was just like, yeah, it's this. This is its range. This is its cost, and this yeah. is what it does. And I was like, oh, my God. What have I done with my life?
The best is like,
and then I was just like, oh, thank God. Disillusion Bolt. I have no idea what this does.
That is on
Father Lucan.
Father Lucan, yeah. And a model damaged by it loses the Arknote ability.
So. Range 2, POW 12. Or range 8. Cost 2, range 8, POW 12.
Keith, what have you done with your life?
Now, think, guys, how awesome it'll be when you're on Jeopardy and they say, like, I'll take spells used in War Machine for 100, Alex.
Yep, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I think that is 10 times more likely to happen than someone getting the perfect basketball draft.
10 times 0 is, yeah
the perfect
zero.
The perfect.
Wait, do you
draft.
Guys know what
March
Agitator
Madness
is?
Bracket, is that yeah. what you're talking about?
Yep.
The perfect basketball
I
draft
know what
bracket. I was like, what?
Agitate.
Do you guys,
what
know
is it? Agitator?
What?
No, I actually
Agitation?
Don't.
It's Doom Shaper
2.
Agitator. It's a spell?
It's Dr. Arcadius' control range spell that gives models in his battle group hyper.
Oh, so. Yep.
Oh.
There's a spell called
That's
Agitator.
That's why no one knew it.
And there's a spell called
Agitation.
Correct. That's so stupid.
Because my initial thing was like,
oh, why are you so dumb?
My response was, oh, that's Doomshaper's spell that puts fury on things. And then Brendan's like, no, that's Agitator. Or Agitation. And I'm like, and they're like, maybe you spelled it wrong. I'm like, no, it's definitely spelled somewhere. Like, it exists.
Why didn't you put at least a caster name?
Because
you're lazy.
Way more writing.
Yeah, dude.
All right, let's talk about what you guys actually got for your spell list with what casters, because I'm genuinely curious, like, the brokenness.
So we locked in our casters at the start. We're immediately thinking some casters should probably be on a ban list, but...
No.
Yes.
No ban list.
For sure.
Absolutely 100% some casters should
yes.
be on a ban list.
Because we need to know ahead of time what the person to your left and right are drafting so you don't oopsie daisies pass them. For example, Toe, when my caster was Morvanatu, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Because then my Warbeast teleport like 20 inches or
yeah.
something
yeah.
stupid like that. So... Yeah, you need to know. And sometimes you're just going to have to G-draft
God,
a spell.
That's so amazing in Circle, because they're just literally like, where are the shifting stones? On the table. Okay, something's going to teleport. You can't.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what was your caster's comp?
The casters that I chose to take were Ron, Swanson, and Assyria.
I chose to take Peagristle and Calandra.
So for reference, all you get, you just get your caster with a blank spell card.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. You don't get any spells. And then Horde's casters can, you can, you draft the same number of spells as everybody. You just, we had two packs and we just went around once with each pack.
Two packs of eight.
Yep. And then Horde's casters get to attach their Fury -2 spells to their spell mm-hmm. card, and War Machine casters get to attach their Focus -1. Spells to their spell card.
Yep.
So it's just straight upgrade for Gristle. She's only got three spells.
Yeah.
And I got one!
And gets to keep her felt golf.
Yep.
So for Crix, it was actually kind of a thought exercise. Like, there's one obvious one. You take the Witch Coven. They have...
The one that's getting banned.
A ton of focus, and there are a significant number of spells that are not okay at -1.
It turns out...
Cost.
Probably every spell in the game that's not on their spell list is... Is not okay.
There's plenty of them that are fine.
The ones that already cost one.
And then I was like thinking about good feats for the other one, but there are a lot of casters whose spell lists are hard to improve upon.
Tell me more about this problem in Crix, Keith.
So instead, I just went with a caster who has a good set of base abilities, but who I feel like has a spell list that can only be improved upon, which is Terminus. So...
And then Mercs is kind of a weird place to do this.
I think it's okay.
I think one of them's a Magnus because you get an Arc node if you need it. So I picked Epic since he
has a feat.
Since he has a feat, although as I ended up drafting, I was like, maybe this should have been P because resourceful, also kind of a cool ability.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But yeah, so Epic Magnus, and then the other one was Fiona, just because she has the most focus to play with. So it gives you a caster that can spell sling. I also considered Ashlyn just because she has like the best base stat line of almost like definitely any caster on Mercs. But
oh my god, Roots of Earth on her would be so legit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things
just that, like no, I can't die.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So like almost went with Ashlyn, but decided to go with Fiona and Epic Magnus as my pair for those reasons. Although Fiona not having an Arc node, kind of sad. But
yeah.
Keith is sitting to the right of me,
and to the left of me.
All of the armor buffs in the game were, well, all of the armor buffs in our draft were in the first pack, and he just ended up like going like, nope, Chad's not getting this. Nope, Chad's not getting this.
So while he was doing that, I was immediately to his right, and I opened my first pack, and it has Soulfire in it, and I was just like, nope, can't pass that.
Yeah.
So that ended up on Ron's spell list.
Which coven?
Is that the one that's you get a focus point back
yes,
when you kill?
Yes, it is Fiona the Black
spell.
So it's just the witch covens literally kill everything within
10 inches
of a
witch
node.
Or an arc node.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they're just dead.
They cast out of the ball.
Oh.
Okay, so
within 10 inches of the
ball. Or an arc node.
Yeah.
It just dies.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing, you know, there wouldn't be any Crix arc nodes, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe that's it. Just ban Crix Arc Nodes.
They have to hit.
Yeah, yeah, with their focus 9.
It's not automatic.
Yeah, so they might miss one. They have
a stack of more chances.
Yeah, they've got plenty of chances.
Yeah, they have to like literally miss 9 in a row.
Yeah,
especially since Deathjack can go first, and he could potentially put another focus on them.
Is that how that would work? Or yeah. Would he go to Deathjack?
It would go on them. Because when Deathjack,
or you can just activate one, and then you know, oh, I missed 9 times. Now Deathjack, go put another one back on there. All right, sweet, I get it started up.
Scarlock, you go too.
Yeah,
we don't actually get to miss 9 times because it does cost 2, so they get to miss like
no,
if they
it
miss.
Doesn't.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
pretty. Yeah, actually, yeah. Witch Coven. I hadn't thought about that, but
there's a lot of ways from the
entire draft. I was like.
Which I actually
like I have to de-draft.
There's two casters.
Witch Coven and Harbinger
need to be banned, and yeah. The other one's Harbinger, just for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
but
this is why I took Ron because I was just sitting to the right of Keith, and I was just like, "Well, I'm gonna have to de-draft all the like spell slinging spells that are broken on the Witch Coven's list, so that probably breaks Ron slightly more than any other Rekka."
But I mean, it's funny because like it's a weird conversation. Like I can see some people being like, "Well, this is obviously just a fun." Like, for fun, non-competitive, like, format anyway. Like, it's just to do, you know, for, like...
For funsies.
Yeah. And, but the thing is, it's so unfun for them, for those either of those casters to be part of the draft. Because you're just such...
Yeah. They put pressure on you during the draft, and then when they play the game, they're just like, kill all your stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, that was a cool game.
I mean, it's basically just play Harbinger or the Witch Coven or don't spell draft.
Or don't spell draft, yeah. So yeah, I think I agree with you, Chad. I think both of those should probably be outlawed from draft format.
I think that's probably fine.
If you want to cast spells for one, Keith, you can just take Scavarus.
I mean, a spell list.
That's not every turn, Chad.
That's fine. That's why it's balanced.
All right. So should we talk about what we ended up with?
Yeah. So I'll just go first. I ended up due to me de-drafting all of the spells possible, and then there were eventually a pack where I was just like, God. Dang it, this one of these has to make it to Keith's buns. All right. Well, at this point, we're just aborting the D-draft from the Witch Coven plant, because no matter what I passed him, I don't remember what the 2 spells were, but it was like, that might have been the Reviver Soulfire pack.
It was Reviver Soulfire.
Yeah, and I was just like...
Oh my god, that's so miserable.
There is no...
Why didn't you ship the other one under the card? Like, under the table to, like, Fox or something?
Oh, that was also awesome, was Fox drafted the Witch Coven. I liked his spell list more than Keith's because of a hilarious interaction. So Unseen Path is in the cube, but because it is technically only workable with either Cassius or the Old Witch, it has been rewarded so that like if your caster came with another model, you can Unseen Path to that model,
or Unseen Path, that model to your caster.
Sweet.
So he had the Witch Coven with Unseen Path, and it was just hilarious because he could, like, teleport this witch here or this one, like, or back to the Aggregor. Like, they could just go anywhere on the table. Like, one of them activates, run, like, charges forward, and then teleports the Aggregor to it, so then you can cast spells out of it, and then, like, the last witch to activate just teleports them all back or something, like, ridiculous. But I'm way more excited about this Assyrian list than the Ron list. The Ron list is just, like, Telgesh Mark, which is just, like, a free Arcanoid, which is sweet, and then, like, some sweet spell-singy spells, like Soulfire, Spirit Fang, which is really good for assassinations.
I wish I'd have gotten Spirit Fang.
Yeah, that ID drafted pretty hard. The Assyria list I'm way more excited about. It is...
What else is in the Ron list? You might as well be complete.
It's Occultation, Soulfire, Spirit Fang, Telgesh Mark, Failsafe, Pursuit, and Quagmire.
I like that spell list, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I think you'll probably like most of these spell lists, would be my guess.
That's the way.
So, I'm way more excited about the Assyria list, which just kind of came together accidentally, but when I finally finished the spells, like, drafting, I was like, oh, this is sweet! So it's Burning Ash, which is a spell that's pretty unfair on not Hieroflamer.
Yeah. On a 16-inch control range?
And 8 clouds.
So I want that on Harbinger.
So there is a wall of Burning Ash, of which Mage Hunter Strike Force will be hiding behind, who have Hand of Fate on them. And then the rest of her spell list is Magnetic Hold, which is that stupid spell that is on a... Cyntherion.
Plus Cyntherion, sorry, yeah.
Which is like -2... speed and like defense, and then stuff that you charge that
minus 2 speed and defense,
and then Iron Aggression, Fortify, Phantom Hunter, which is useful because this list is all about assassination, so I'm gonna put that on like a Banshee or something, because the other list wouldn't be good enough on rolling to hits with a Pincushion.
So you have Hand of Fate and Pincushion with Mage Hunter Strike Force and her feet?
Yes. Yep. So it is 5d6, dropped the 2 lowest and whichever I choose.
Pincushion was a really hard spell for me to pass. I only did it because Signs of Importance was in the past.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna only say ranged you, attacks. Yeah.
I'm going to say you made the right call.
You chose wisely.
So it would be 5d6, drop the 3 lowest. Pow tens on your caster.
I think that just kills everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, Chad, how does this affect the math? And he's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know either.
Well, ask Tony when we're in Chicago in 2 days.
Yeah, do that. And then I was just like, well, let's just, there's one way to figure this out. Let's just start rolling some dice and then plot it out.
We did like 20 trials, and the lowest we rolled was 6, and he also rolled like 6 or 7 boxcars.
Yep.
Like,
yep,
pretty reliably, like rolling 9s and 10s.
Yeah, I either rolled 10s, 11s, 12s, or 6. Like, there was like no real in between.
So that's pretty good. Pretty good rat draft.
I guess you could get your defense high enough. No, how do you can't even get your defense high enough?
Because
they're Arcane Assassin.
You
and
be Terminus.
They're the
souls.
Or purge them all to death before they get there.
Mm. Yeah, there's a. There's also a Phantom Hunter on a Banshee to knock down their casters in case 5d6 drop the 3 lowest wasn't accurate enough.
I feel like Gristle with Earthborn Animus is probably fine.
Maybe. Yeah.
Number 20.
Yeah, with transfers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my my draft. It was not as fun as I would have liked it to be because I had to de-draft all the things from the person left of me. So, like, I was just like,
here's the moral of the story. Don't sit by Keith.
It's just the Witch Coven might have to be. Well, because
then,
because.
I don't know, because then you have to hope that everyone else, the other person sitting
gotta,
next to Keith.
Yeah, you got to count on somebody else to keep Keith down.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. This does seem like a poor plan.
Just don't draft with Keith. That's the moral of the story.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who wants to go? I'll go.
Okay.
My casters were Gristle and Calandra. For Gristle, my spell list, my first like three spell in my first three spells, I had like 3 fire based spells, and I was like, "We're going for a theme." And it just ended up getting away from me. But so she ended up turning into a weird kind of like assassin. Spell list being Engine of Destruction, Ignite, Deflection, and Cyclone.
Deflection is unpleasant.
And well, yeah, with Engine of Destruction and Cyclone,
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It goes a long way.
Speed 8, and then move 8, charge 11.
Do you get to build your list after you get your spell list?
Yeah,
yeah.
So you, you'd just be like, oh, I'm going to rage her. Just like...
You want the Cyclone at the end, so you can get, still get the attacks from it.
Yep.
Cyclone is, it still generates attacks.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah. Or the charge, you just get to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, with a Fel'Kal and Rage and Ignite cast on her by a Rune Bearer or something, you know, like, she gets up to POW plus strength 19. No, I'm sorry. 20. What's. Engine of Destruction gives you plus 4?
4.
23, I'm sorry.
And then she's Matt, like,
Matt,
Dick.
Is it plus 4 Matt as well?
Yep.
Matt 10. 12 with a Fel'Kal.
Yeah.
Yep. That seems pretty fun.
With a ridiculous threat range, too.
Yep. So. And then with if she pops her feet, she gets a free attack from that. Yep. And then I get to reposition myself 8 inches after the feat's over. Or after, at the end of my turn. And deflection to keep everything, you know, safe up the table, which that'd be a pretty good spell on trolls.
Yeah, I agree.
That seems fun. Yeah. That seems fun. It's like, just gives Gristle, like, because Gristle just basically playing the same game that she normally plays, but then you've got Ignite and Deflection to just, like, pump your game up to, you know, turn it up to 11. And then you get to late game and you're like, oh, I've got Engine of Destruction Cyclone to fall back on.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That seems awesome. For Kalandra, my spell list ended up being, it was like a weird mix of like army support and then protection for her. And then the last spell, which you'll hear. So it ended up being Skyborn, Rapid Growth, the Baldur Forest spell, Gallows, Lightning Tendrils, and Unearthly Rage.
Oh, Unearthly Rage!
Yeah.
Oh, my yep. God.
He opened that one. I did not pass it to him.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's actually... Thank God that was in Trolls. It's
yeah,
probably
overscoring.
The most controlled in Trolls out of all the factions.
Or Circle, I guess. But or Legion. Oh, yeah, yeah. Factions. It's probably, of all the Horde factions, it's probably worst in Trolls.
Yeah, it's definitely worst in Trolls.
Yeah.
Minions?
Yeah, maybe Minions, too.
No, they don't count. They're not a real faction.
They're beasts are pretty much worse.
So I like it because I can Rapid Growth to give my Earthborns plus 2 speed and then Unearthly Rage. And then they can just go in there with all boosted attack and damage and...
pretty good.
And Lightning Tendrils. So I can give my Earthborns plus 6 to their threat range and then Unearthly Rage.
Legit.
Good times.
Seems okay.
Fury 5. Actually, Unearthly Rage is really good in Trolls because they do have Fury 5.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How much does it cost for?
It's 3.
3.
3?
It's a bargain at twice the price.
And 2 when you have a Harmonious Exaltation.
Mm.
It's a bargain at twice the price in Hordes.
Yeah.
Like, if it cost 6 and it was in Hordes, you'd be like, all right.
So yeah. I'm pretty happy with my draft. I think I did pretty okay for myself.
I ended up with interesting drafts. I know the Witch Coven would be super bonkers, but it also seems possible to attack against them because in both of my casters, I didn't end up with the things that you normally have in Crix, which is solutions for like helping you along with the high armor. So, I mean, I would just end up probably taking Bane Thralls in both of the lists. Anyway, my first pick was Purification for the Witch Coven. At 2 is pretty good.
Oh, by the way,
it's pretty good at 18 inches, too.
Regrowth spell becomes super legit. When only one purification in the format. That is a one-meal slam. Yeah.
That's why I maybe should have gone with P. Magnus, because resourceful. Only one person will be able to purify it off of him.
And they might not even have it, because we didn't draft all the cards in the game.
So,
purification was the first pick. I ended up also with... I kept, like, looking for the sweet spell slingy spells. So, like, I picked Airburst pretty early on, which is...
That's a good spell.
Sweet!
I was like, yes, Airburst.
I mean, it's pretty nice on an 18-inch control area.
Yeah. Like, just remove Eris.
-1 cost. Yeah. It's really good.
And then I got past Revive, and I was like, I was debating between Revive and something else in the pack, or maybe...
2-cost Revive?
And then I remembered how stupid Revive is with Biothralls, and then I remembered how it could get stupider when my caster can activate 3 separate times. So I was like, wait, Revive, that's plus... 4 8-inches. Stop.
Activate, kill the leader.
Kill the leader. Promote to the front one. Activate another witch. Revive. That's another 8 inches.
They literally leapfrog into your deployment zone, and then the last frog goes bleh!
So it's a 16 plus walk 5, 21 plus purge 6 is a 27 inch purge. It's pretty good.
It's pretty legit.
It's a pretty good.
That's like 1 inch outside of the deployment zone on turn 1.
Yeah. Yeah, right about there.
And totally unstoppable.
And yes, unstoppable because I also drafted caustic mist. So that's one. That's just one cost clouds that hurt you if you step into them.
Let's lich.
But also, like, we're going swimming.
Yep.
Woo!
So turn one, everybody runs, and I cloud down in front of the entire army. Turn two, I purge probably twice. I probably put POW 12s on most, if not your entire
literally,
army.
You literally need to just take. There's a solution to this list, and the solution is take all the heavies.
Yeah, everything has to be immune to POW 12s.
Which is why I took Spirit Fang away from him. So I was like, no, we can't stop heavies from charging.
I also ended up with Hellmouth because it was later in the picks. And I was like, eh. Maybe there'll be things that are immune to corrosion, I guess. But I don't think this helps.
Three-cost Hellmouth.
Assault Commando.
After you have the revive, yes, the three-cost Hellmouth is eh.
Like, the only solution is Blinding Light.
Can you make theme forces in this format?
No.
No.
Damn.
Maybe.
I'll allow it.
I have no idea.
So I'd be like, God, you know what would actually be legit? If I could make that, if I could take that new Calandra theme force where you get all the elemental trolls for cheaper, and I just have nothing but slag trolls with unearthly rage, and then my entire army is immune to purge.
Or...
And I also think I ended up with Boundless Charge on there. There's a bunch of them. A bunch of, like, irrelevant spells on their list.
You're just like, literally, I'm just the battle
line. You had to put 8 spells on there. Like, eventually I ran out of winners.
You're just like, ah, whatever. Yeah. The spell might be good sometime. Like, yeah. That's why, like, I was like, so wait, you can make 1-cost Caustic Mist Clouds.
Yep.
Crump drafted Burning Ash.
Yep.
And I was like, looking at this pick of kind of mopey cards, and I was like, Wind Blast, doing it.
That was not your enthusiasm was like, wait.
Wind Blast! I was like, yeah. If you guys is close. And then I ended up not putting it on.
And then for Terminus, I think I ended up liking my, or being a little bit more excited about the Terminus draft. I got Malediction back for him, which I think is a good pick. He likes, like, it's Malediction is a good spell on him. I ended up with I pulled the pack with Arcane Shield in it, and I was like, passing this to trolls is miserable. But I have Purification of the Witch Coven, so I don't really care. And I was about to get ready to pass it, and I wasn't excited about anything else in the pack, and then I was like, oh, no, this is pretty good on Terminus. So I took Arcane Shield and then passed it on, and then, like, the next pack was Roots of the Earth, and I'm like, stacks. So we put that in and passed it on. And then I got Guided.
Terminus with Roots of the Earth and Arcane Shield, probably not okay.
Mm. Arm 30, every turn.
I mean, it's okay when you're all Mage Hunter Assassins.
And then,
Chop.
I got, what was the other pick that I was really happy about? Oh, Guided Hand. So his Mechanithral's actually
Terminus'
hit.
Army now does something!
Yeah, Guided Hand, pretty good.
Hoping for solid ground, but we didn't get there.
Yeah, that would have been really good, too.
I was also hoping for solid green.
Yeah, that's a pretty windmill slammy spell.
That's a winner-winner chicken dinner.
It's a good spell, as it turns out.
So, yeah.
I just can't wait till someone's, like, a Gordon player, and, like, they open their first pack, and the person sitting to their left is, like a Harpy player or something. And the temporal barrier's in the pack, and they're just like, ugh.
I can't imagine why you would ever pick Gordon in this, like, format.
Just saying. Like,
the only way is if you could, like, somehow increase his controller,
I mean,
because his reason, feet is nuts.
His feet is nuts, but part of the reason that he's strong is his spell list. Like, I think it's hard to, like, the
it's one of those spell lists that's hard to improve upon.
Yeah.
Trade out Eruption. Improved.
Yeah.
Not always.
There's sometimes Eruption's pretty sweet.
When you have access to all the spells in the game.
I mean, if there's something else that, like... Like, yeah, like the clouds that do, like, auto points. So I can be, like, the Caustic Mist drag. Like, that'd be better than Eruption.
Except you only get 2.
Yeah, fine. That's fine. That's still, like, 6 inches, like, linear up the table. Anyway, so...
It's like 7.
Fiona the Black and Magnus.
And Epic Magnus. So Epic Magnus, I ended up kind of following Chad's sort of general strategy, which was this is the game that Epic Magnus plays, but let's try and draft some spells that will help him play that game, like, a little bit better. So it was all about, like,
keeping Magnus alive.
Keeping Magnus alive and killing stuff.
Yeah.
So he has Escort and Foxhole.
Ooh.
And then he also has Battlelust and Parasite.
Nice.
That spell list is actually, like, really legit.
And then his
That's really good.
Last spell is a Sunder Spirit, because he hates war beasts, apparently.
I like how he can move up and lock. He can, like, lock things in place to set up the next turn, like, Battlelust and Parasited beatdown. And that is a savage beatdown.
I also like that he'll be 14-19.
Yes. He'll be 18-19, because he'll be in a foxhole.
In a foxhole.
Yeah.
Or 18-20 if you parasited
something. If he did, yeah. So, yeah, it was just like, let's keep Magnus alive and let's blow stuff up. And I had to take Battlelust because it's the spell I want the most in Mercs.
Yeah.
Period.
It's pretty overrated. I played Innisfil.
Yeah.
So checks fixed.
That left my Fiona the Black as, like, this weird, like, best, like, just taking best spells out of the packs and being like, she can cast it. She has, like, 8 focus a turn. We'll just, like, figure it out. So she's got, like, this weird combination of, like, army buffing and also, like, weird janky assassination.
That's how my ROM listens.
So she got Ross Mercy back. So she's still got that spell. But then she's got Signs Importance.
Pretty good.
And Temporal Acceleration.
Also really good. Hard to make use of both, though.
She can with a Galleon. Like, Galleon under Science Importance and Temporal Accelerated is kind of cute. And she can put a focus on it, too.
You put Gaston on the Galleon.
You could do that.
Gastallion.
And then she has Awareness for, like, these weird, like,
for
Galleon.
The Galleon.
Yeah. Nice. And then...
Drag you through a
he's
forest.
He's just opening...
He's like, can't hide back there.
Yep, exactly.
Just hoping to hook him and book him.
Yep, and, like, you can Temporal Accelerate it, right? So he can be, like, drag, or, like, whatever the case may be.
God, drag, punch,
yeah, exactly. And then Draconic Blessing, because everyone in Merc needs a little extra punch.
Little Dragon Blood.
Little extra punch. And then her final spell is also decent for assassination. It's Torment. So
that spell's actually really good on assassination. That was I almost windmill slammed that with Ron, but Spirit Fang was in the pack.
Yeah.
What exactly does Torment do again? Is that the one
it's
transfers?
The Morgul one that's like no transfers, no healing.
Yep.
Pow 12.
Really cost good. Range
it's 10. A super good spell.
Really good.
Pass that?
You must have.
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
Because it was in the Spirit Fang pack, and I was like, God, which one of these is worse?
So yeah, like I would like having Torment a lot better if I had an Arc node, but it's like this thing she can go do, I guess. So, yeah. But yeah, so that's Fiona.
It's a lot of fun.
You could also have, if you could have found like a really good armor buff.
Yeah.
Actually, Defender's Ward with her would be so completely.
I mean, I was definitely looking for armor buffs, but somebody soaked them all up.
Yeah, because they would have made it past Chad.
Yeah, and then I would be looking at Chad when I said somebody.
Oh, God. Chris had, like, this really disgusting Balder list. Or no.
Yeah, Balder 2.
Yeah, it was Balder 2 with, like, Batten.
Batten down the hatches.
Some other armor buff. And then there was some other armor buff. I don't remember what it was, but. And then he still had his feet. So there was just, like, a turn where it was just, like, plus 8 armor.
Immortality, go!
Yeah, spell drafting's pretty fun. I'm not sure that...
I'm not sure you need to ever play the game. I think just making broken casters.
Yeah, we'll just decide,
fun.
And then we'll just also, vote on who has the most broken casters.
It's so fun to crack a pack and be like, purification! Oh, Unearthly Rage. Crap. What the
first
hell?
World problems.
Do I pick?
So, here's the deal. At one time, I told DC that this was clearly how they designed casters. But it's clearly not. Looking at all your casters,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
It's clearly not how they design casters, because if it was, we'd have cool casters.
Well, the thing is that our draft selection did not have 25 rifts in it. There was only one. So...
Right. Or Force Hammer.
Yeah, Force Hammer. We were very short on rifts and Force Hammer.
Yeah, I may put some commons in. Just like 20 arcane bolts. Or
yeah, way not enough arcane bolts. Yeah.
Razor Wind.
I mean, purification's pretty common too, so you need to put like 20 of those in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a lot. That... Maybe my legit tournament will just be a spell draft, and people will have to actually play like the games with their...
God, you're going to get so many people dropping after the draft phase.
No, I think what you do is you do the...
Well, it's going to be single.
No,
so.
It's spell draft. You draft, And then they have to go into the dojo, and then there has to be an impartial judge to decide who won the dojo match.
Like they like,
like you could have like a panel. You could have like a panel of judges.
It's like a debate team kind of thing. Yeah. Like I would kill. I would just kill you, Dad. With this, this is my game plan. Like, yeah.
But you could have like a, you could have like a panel of judges, and they could all hold up signs and be like 10.
He would be like, I'm going to cast. 5. I'm going to cast Caustic Mix 9 times. You're never going to be able to get your army anywhere on the table. And then as soon as you do, like, manage to, like, get anything through, it's all going to get purged on. GG, son. I should clearly win. And I'm just like, I drafted Windblast.
And a crowd's just like, oh, damn!
No, this, oh, this can't turn into an episode of Maury.
This is, no, this is
WWE.
Step up 3. It's the caster draft.
I actually think social media sounds like more fun than actually playing the games.
Yeah.
I mean, we
well, you always think that.
We haven't played the games. There was one person who has done, two people who have done a spell draft and play the games, and it was Colin against Brendan at the shop, and it was a grind, because it was trolls with an armor buff, and,
Signar?
No, the
Mockery,
Mockery
of Life.
Of Life. There we go. Versus Signar with Regrowth.
Oh,
Mockery
gosh.
Of Life Warders, which I was like,
Mockery of Life armor buffed Warders.
I was like, you can't do that because they're only you can, like Mockery of Life's only undead units, and they were just like Witch dot Grog. I was like, oh my god, that works.
Yeah, I permitted it.
Yep.
I don't actually know the wording on Mockery of Life, but if at some point, if at the point when you cast Mockery of Life, the unit is undead, thumbs up.
Yeah, that's actually how it would work.
Yeah, I think, I think it legit works.
Like, right, so Witch dot Grog worked for Crix, they could do that with Blood Witches and such.
Yeah,
yeah, cool. Nice. But yeah, that was a. Sometimes we need to actually play these games.
No way. Way overrated.
Ban some witch covens.
No.
It is unfun.
No.
Yeah, it's seriously. Try drafting with Signar sometime. All
right.
Which is still going to be. You're just going to be like.
Yeah, you'll just like. You'll
like suffer through. Yeah.
No, you'll just draft Kane, and then someone will pass you Hotshot, and you'll just be like, ha-ding! Slam! Like, that's got to be the most fun. Just Kane
is now with Hotshot. I think I left it on Witch Coven. Like, I could take a crack in, I guess.
Oh, that was also something hilarious. Fox got a. Fox got Swamp Hits from Barnabas' spell list, and they were just like, Fox, take it with the Witch Coven, and then make a wall of Swamp Pits, and then hide the Kraken in one.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Great.
Oh man.
So much worse
than Inhospitable
Just
Ground.
Just big enough.
I also had Artifice of Deviation on the Witch Coven. I keep remembering.
That's an
option. You just are really Eris 2-2.
I loved Chris's Mosar list. It was actually just gross. It was like Bestial, I think Solid Ground, Inhospitable Ground. It was basically just all these kick in the nuts control area non-upkeep spells, except he had basically had all of those except for TB.
Solid Ground on a Focus A caster. Pretty sweet.
Colin ended up with kind of a cool P Nemo list. I forget everything that was on the spell card, but it was just like the Warjack goes a jillion inches.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Leash.
Yeah, it was Leash, the Cray spell,
Full Tilt.
Something else.
Didn't he have
so it's like a
toe? Did you have toe, Colin?
Yeah, he had toe.
Yeah,
that
oh
doesn't
my
work
god.
Cuz toe and Leash and Full Tilt.
Can't you
He did not have
oh,
Leash.
He didn't have Leash.
Locomote, Energizer? Either of those? Energizer.
It was basically a Stormcloud went, like, I don't know, 24 inches.
A long friggin' way.
A five focus?
Five focus.
Stormcloud?
Yeah.
That's going to get some work done.
That'll kill some stuff.
We need to actually play this game.
I don't. There's no
Dojo
friggin' way.
Dojo is not enough, Chad. It doesn't hold up.
There's no way.
It's perfect. That's a perfect thing to Dojo because it's so ridiculous.
Well, you're all going to lose to. We're all going to just lose to some, like, dumb combination where like the person who's playing it is just like, I can do this. And you're like, yeah, I guess you can. That doesn't seem remotely fair. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're all going to lose to POW 23, Threat Range 21, Gristle. Like, that's just going to happen.
Possible.
I mean, this. You. Don't lie to me. You actually want to see that play out on the table.
No. It's just as good in my brain. It might be better in my brain.
I was going to say, it's probably better in your brain because it's not susceptible to dice.
You're just like, this super solo.
I don't understand why you're upset. like, you needed double ones to miss, and you were dice plus five. I don't know why you expected to kill my my
like,
caster.
You're charging. Yeah, exactly. You're charging Terminus, like, obviously. Idiot. I'm not going to kill him. Well, I probably wouldn't kill
since
him.
Since his Terminus is base armor 30, you're correct.
With a Derek
that would be mind. That would be a poor decision.
Yeah.
It's not base 30.
He'll spend focus sometime.
He has to spend.
My plan is to parasite him. Battle lust everything I can and cross my fingers.
As soon as he casts guided, as soon as he casts guided hand, like I got him.
Yeah. It's just base. Game over.
That's true. Game over.
Does Spore Cleaver still have?
Yep, still armor penetrates.
Just shove that right up.
Yeah,
yeah. That's God was just like
battle lust Magnus, parasite Terminus. Here we go, mono e mono.
Like 12.
What's that?
Yeah, it's
what's the power of it?
You need
it's 13.
You need strength granite for Magnus.
Yeah.
Kaboosh! Dice plus 7. I'm like on a jack.
Just one shot Terminus. Yeah, I one shot armor 30 Terminus.
Oh man, someone needs to do a spell draft with Epic Sorcia and just see how stupid. Like, and then just draft, you know, strength of granite, ignite. those wouldn't stack, yeah, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Just like the one shot game plan.
Yeah, it's like strength of granite, signs importance.
No,
it's just strength of granite, battle us, parasite.
Well, but you
one shot colossal dot deck.
Yeah.
Dot deck.
Strength of granite, parasite.
So if you ever get a chance to write down the names of every spell on the back of some old magic cards, give the spell draft a try. It's a lot of fun.
I'm probably bringing this to Lock and Load.
Aren't they actually doing this at Lock and Load?
They are.
I mean, the legitimate one where you have to draft like Animi and stuff.
Here's a hint here's a tip too for making it way more fun is that you have to like. I guess this just might just be a rule for drafting that I'm not aware of because I haven't drafted a lot, but you have to crap talk like as much as possible during the drafting phase with like the things that you get. Like that was amazing.
Yeah,
that's probably not something that's not something you do in drafting because you don't want to know.
Then you draft Windblast instead of not drafting Windblast.
I don't care. It was fun.
It is fun.
That's why, when I opened the pack up and I was just like, woo! And slammed down on the table and Keith was like, what'd you get? And then when my hand lifted up, some air kind of blew the card and it flipped over to Unearthly Rage and I was just like, oh, you didn't see that. He was like, ah!
The best was like, there were times where, like, someone would pass something, and then the person to their left would be like, what? How could you possibly pass this car? Blah, 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 yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then they just, like, shake their head, and you're like, oh.
I don't know if I can get into the, like, trash talk and stuff, though. That's not really my thing.
That's true. It's not.
So
I'm definitely bringing this to Lock and Load.
Anything else that we need to talk about today?
Just John, you got something on your shirt.
I told you it's cream cheese. It's not hard.
Cheese.
I'll let you taste it later, then you'll understand.
Everyone knows this euphemism, Josh.
It's not a euphemism. It is literally cream cheese, and I'm literally using the word literally correctly.
Popped and squirts right now.
Squirting and screaming.
Squirting and screaming. That poor woman.
That's going to happen every once in a while if you're squirting and screaming.
That's true. That's true.
All right, less inside jokes.
Didn't we tell everyone about that? Is it no longer an inside joke?
Well, it was on our Facebook page, but not everyone.
Just the quote was on the Facebook page.
I thought we talked about it on a cast.
I thought we did too. Anyway,
whatever.
It doesn't matter.
We should talk about it just in case.
No, we should just let
perhaps
sleeping dogs lie.
Another time. Yeah. Any updates for the store, John?
More faction tokens are being designed. As a matter of fact, Nigel better be working on it right now.
Slave 1.
He is not. He is sleeping.
I don't think he's sleeping.
Or he's taking about a 3-hour poop.
I mean, he could be in his room designing them.
Yeah, he better be.
John, just keeping the Nige down.
Yeah.
The Nige.
This is not
that
a thing.
Dangerously close.
I mean, you said that earlier. No one caught it, apparently, except for me.
Yeah. Actually, no. We're
Nigels.
We're pretty excited because the Scorn tokens are coming together, and you guys. I think we posted a picture, but the feet token for Scorn is amazing.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It's my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to cherry pick one, like out of a set just and keep like I'm just gonna cherry pick like all my favorite tokens and make my own custom set. I'm just gonna make
you're gonna completely scrap my production.
I mean they're like everywhere, like it wouldn't be hard. That's all I'm saying.
Receive, yeah, I mean, here's one right here.
If you receive your set in the mail and you're missing a token, it's Chad's fault.
By the time you
should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
By the time you listen to this, I think Mercs and well, Scorn will definitely be done. Mercs could possibly be done because they're almost done.
Now, which Mercs are you talking about? The little add-on set?
No, 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 the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Hammer or like Dwarf Purist faction set.
Searforge set. Yeah. Searforge set. Five tokens, and they all say you suck.
Oh my god! April Fool's Day. Yeah. April Fool's Day is happening.
Yeah, but there's you'll have to come check out the store because there's new stuff going up all the time. We put up base markers for marking front arcs on bases.
Yeah, I saw those actually.
We put up flare tokens. We have resin bases that are being shipped out tomorrow.
Nigel does some pretty sweet resin bases.
He does. So there'll be resin bases that are available. We have the factional
Nigel,
sets.
I mean Slave One.
The factional sets. If you haven't seen the faction tokens, you should definitely check them out. They're probably some of the coolest stuff that
They're
I've ever
cool.
seen.
They're super cool. Nigel's done an amazing job.
Never mind. I'm just going to...
Yeah, just... anyway. And then I think we have a Netrunner set. That's going to be going up within a week or two.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Not War Machine stuff. Boo.
Very cool. As always, we are on Facebook and Twitter at what you would suspect, Mise en Minis.
Perfect.
Thank you for clearing that up.
And he literally means that. Type in what you would expect, Mise en Minis.
I mean, that'll probably get...
And that'll... That'll get you where you need
That'll
to
get
go.
You
that
where you
or
need
just
to be.
Gay porn into Google. One
of those two.
This is way more than a minute.
Yeah, that was much longer.
I'm signed out. I don't know what you guys are waiting for.
No one heard you. We were laughing.
Okay.
Say it again.
I'm not. I'm signed out.
Say it again.
I don't have to.
You can't be signed out if you're talking.
I'm already signed. I'm not.
This is Josh.
From
Chad
and John.
I thought you were Seawick.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. Thank you.
I'm a goddamn master.
I'm back to the Matrix movies. I did enjoy the first one.
I don't remember that one. Back to the Matrix.
Back to Marty. 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 You gotta stop the machines, Marty. Marty, you know kung fu.
That one's literally coming out next summer. Back to the Matrix.
Back to the Matrix.
Now, perfect. That movie was like very, very solid. And then when they started describing, like getting really in depth into the human robot war in the second and third movies, and then the science just completely fell apart. I scooped on it.
Compared the Matrix to what was that movie? Highlander. The first Highlander movie was actually a pretty decent movie, pretty fun. And then, like, have you ever seen the second Highlander movie?
Yep.
Literally the worst thing that I have ever seen.
Is that the one where Sean Connery is all like...
That's the first one.
Really?
He's in the second one, too.
Yep. I thought he gets killed in the first
one. He does Hamlet. He does get killed in the first one.
Yeah, I remember I remember watching a movie that was terrible with Sean Connery in it where he's, like, lifting up a fan with his life energy and then dies or something. It's pretty bad.
I don't remember that
No,
part.
Literally...
I think that was Star Wars Episode yeah. 1.
Literally, the first Highlander movie is about, like, there can be only one, and it's sort of mystical or whatever, and they're, like, sort of immortal. The second movie, they decide to explain it as they're aliens. Like, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're just like, wait, Jesus. What? Are you serious?
Just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. That,
it's sort of mystical, and they're sort of immortal. I like that description.
Well, they're immortal until their head comes off.
It's very mystical. And yeah, they are immortal till their heads come. That's true.
Like most human beings.
Well, as per usual. Script.
Jumping, Jesus.
When they were... That movie...
Is that the script?
They could have...
Officer Corrupt showed up to bring us a script.
They could have come up with some...
is there a third name?
Like,
what's Colin's gangster name?
I don't...
Colin, you got to separate these out. Like, I can't do this.
It's just the bad guy from Roadhouse. That's Colin's name.
Not a very good nickname.
It's Billy. That's the bad guy from Roadhouse.
How many of these are there? Is it like 14 things?
I told you, it's confusing, right? It seems simple. It's a pile of paper, but I can't do it.
Let's see. You go until you see a mise en mise title. And then that's one sheet.
Settle down, bad guy.
You didn't give me a chance, bad guy from Roadhouse.
Also, John has fingers like sausages, so
more fat jokes.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Right. I've been told to amp up the volume, so here it comes.
Ugh. Look, I have delicate fingers, asshole.
Uh-huh. Delicate, plump little sausages.
Why do I only have two pages, Colin?
John, the safe word's banana, by the way.
Yeah. You're the only one that got front and back.
I use banana phone.
God damn it. I feel like Lance should write a song called You Down With COC. Yeah, you know me.
Are we just like the Dojo podcast now? Like, non-stop Dojo!
We didn't Dojo at all last week. We were going to.
We did not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We ended up talking about stuff that no one cares
about. Yeah, and then we just rambled on for literally ever.
John's Dojo round two. John's Dojo round one.
We got to hear sweet Nigel stories about owning a game store.
That's true.
Look, if you guys owned a game store, you would know. But as a game store owner.
Yeah.
I'm assuming being a game store owner is just
terrible. I came away from that podcast thinking that basically only the coolest people in the world own game stores, and that, yeah. And that like like if you don't own a game store, you basically aren't.
Hey,
like that's
you know what?
You've wasted your life.
We should all pool our resources and start a game store.
Nope.
Let's see if Mayhem will sell to us.
I have $1,000 to donate.
We can't afford to buy Mayhem. That's a business with legitimate value.
Yeah.
We have no money, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
You could just buy like a...
And I mean, we don't really have prospects either. Like, we couldn't really start a prostitution ring and get rich quick. Like, that's not going to happen.
I think I could make $50 to $100 a week.
Well, I mean, at least it would like...
Setting the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
I will suck a lot of dick.
for cheap. That's called yeah. that's called volume.
Volume.
Sales.
A volume yeah. of sales. Yeah, yeah. absolutely.
Buying
really?
Like with buying wall- from Josh is like going, Sam's really? Club.
Yeah, you're the Sam's Club.
I am.
Of,
I am. You know how like dudes. You know like, it's just like you buy a 12 pack of wieners and you get a 13th. That's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
So you better hope I never win the lottery because you will be my bitch.
A mouth to mouth, money's money, you know, whatever.
This is you stole my that money joke. Hole.
My I sweet, did. Sweet money hole.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Wait, you're welcome, Lance.
What's a, what exactly is a money hole?
It's a you, place where you put things in and then money get, comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
In some form. Or, I don't know.
We're not actually podcasting. What do you need? Everybody, my lovely wife, come say hi.
I thought we weren't actually podcasting.
We're not. We're preambling. She's giving me a dirty look.
Oh, I am not back on Wrath. That faction's a piece of shit.
What does the script say?
Oh, should I talk about Impiritus?
The script says you're back on rat.
Chris's checklist.
Yeah, we should absolutely just yeah, right. we should absolutely steal as much material from Chris as we
yeah,
possibly
great.
Can.
I mean, look,
according to this, I'm back on rat, and I haven't thought about rat in like 2 months.
Oh, here's the deal: we're on episode like 167. We pretty much have license to steal whatever we want.
We have.
Were we what did,
we
what's
have
the thing
tapped
that you wanted?
This well dry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we're literally just pumping up dirt.
Yeah,
yeah. Dirt and rocks by now.
Yeah.
What was it?
We need to. We promised Chris we'd popularize Old Man Magnus. Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as a phrase. Yeah.
Really? Why doesn't?
I feel like that could be better than Old Man, but something along those lines.
Old Man Magnus.
I totally old forgot man. About the spell draft. That turned out pretty sweet.
Old Magnus.
Oh yeah, we did that.
Crump passed me revive when I was drafting the Witch Coven. It's like a 28-29 inch purge for those of you who
I mean,
are.
I checked. I could actually like every pack. I was like, which is the lesser of two evils?
I'm pretty sure the Witch like, Coven is actually just broken in the format. And
yeah,
then,
I don't think. Like, I think Witch Coven and Harbinger should be banned.
I also reason, got Gatsby's Cloud
the
spell.
It's
costing
really
mist.
Bad is the person directly to the right of the person.
I got
on Witch Coven Ridge. Has to just be like,
ooh,
just
that was a windmill.
Dot deck.
Yeah,
like every spell, I'm just every pack, I'd be like.
Yeah, I mean, they just
well,
like
which one of these is less of a kick in the nuts?
Their rules interaction just
and
makes
first picked
too many things broken.
Yeah,
and you what?
First picked purification.
I also don't think
so. Keith was sitting to the right of me, and he ended up with like four armor spells.
Just two, but I was drafting Terminus, so Roots of Earth and Arcane Shield are just fine on Terminus.
I didn't get any.
Were you sad? Were you sad? Nah, did he show them to you?
I like my combo with Gristle, where I've got she's got Ignite.
Wait,
Engine of Destruction and Cyclone.
Why aren't we just podcasting about this?
We will. Like
I had a Syria. Go.
I did get both Parasite and Battlelust for Magnus in the hopes that I could kill the Terminus with Arcane Shield.
I had.
Oh my god! I did. That did not register that you actually said Arcane Shield and Roots of Earth.
Yeah.
Those
two stacked together.
It's armor 30 every turn.
Yeah, and the Scarlock can cast Roots of Earth.
Yeah. Or the Death Track.
Well, yeah. I mean, this seems eminently fair.
I was banking on. I think Rhett's actually kind of powerful in that faction because then you go against people who are stacking armor spells and then you can just ignore them all. That's so fair. I had an Assyria list with High Reclaimer's Cloud spell, and then her spell list was I don't remember all of it. I have a picture on my phone, but it was like Pincushion, Hand of Fate. So there were just five D's, and a series feat is just against the caster is 5d6, drop the three lowest. Which we figured out the lowest you can like possibly roll is 6.
Out of like 20 trials, the lowest we rolled is 6.
Yeah. A lot of times, though. Like, it's a shockingly high number of times.
Yeah, but those, I mean, even those rolls, like, you look at them and you're like, oh, God, this roll's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still 6. Because it'd be like 1, 1, 2, 4. Like
two
one, it's like 1, 1, 1, 2, 4, and you're like, oh, so 6.
It basically averages out to be 10, I think, most of the time.
Well, you also rolled a shockingly high number of boxcars.
Yeah, there's a lot of boxcars that go down in that.
I'm pretty sure it's 6 to 12.
Actually, why aren't we just
a high percentage?
Why are we
tens?
Pre-rambling? Like, this is actual podcast material that we're just wasting.
All right, let's stop.